जय शुपाल परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान अभयचरणारविंदम भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जय। नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य शील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनमाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी। All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale. Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nidhi Namini. Namaste Saraswati Devim. Gauravani Prajarini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Desha Tarini. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। संसार सागरे मग्नम दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह गृहीतांगं मामुद्धर भवार्णवाल श्रीमल भागवदाख्योयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सबला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यदा भक्ति पादयोर्सव जायते तदा कुरुष्व देवेश नादस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपाप प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमना तं नमामि हरिं परम। जन्माद्यस्य यदोऽन्वयादिदरदस् चातेष्वभिज्ञस्वरात् तेने ब्रह्मा हृदाय आदिगवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरया तेजो वारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धान्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहगं सत्यं परं धीमहि। धर्मप्रोज्झितकैदवोत्रपरमो निर्मत्सराणां सदां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तावत्त्रयोन्मूलनम्। श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा वरैरीश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यतेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तल्क्षणात् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबदभागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाहं सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विशोल्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमा। यं प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुभेदमभेदकृत्यं द्वैवायनो विरहकादरमाजुहावां पुत्रेदि तन्मैदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिम् आनतोऽस्मि। यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमतिथितीर्षदां तमोन्धम् संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेल् कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुपुनिदादृदाननेन्दोः मम वाजि विजृम्भतां मुरारे मधुरिन्न कनिगाभिकाभिगावि। नमाहुं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन्निति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवि ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷാ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീമത് ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമഃ. വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസം ഹരികഥോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീ ചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാനവേ നമ. പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം വാത്സഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വദാലേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി. കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണം ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമ. മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ. ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാ മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതി അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനി അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ദദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീ. നമോസ്തു തേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ പുല്ലാരവിന്ദായത പത്രനേത്രം യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ. പ്രപന്നപാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകബാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ. സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത്. വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസച്ചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും. യുഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രതജലാ ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല. അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണ ഘോര മകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സുതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണ നദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവാം. പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകകേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധനാബോധിതം. ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പേബീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരതപങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ. മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈ സവൈർ വേദൈർ സാംഗപദൈർ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തി യം സമഗാഃ. ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. ശ്രീ ശുഖബ്രഹ്മർഷി ഇൻ ദ ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതം ടോക്കിംഗ് ടു പരീക്ഷിത് അബൌട്ട് ജംബുദ്വീപം. ജംബുദ്വീപം ഹാസ് വി സോ ദർ ആർ നൈൻ സെക്ടേഴ്സ് ഓർ വർഷസ് ദർ ആൻഡ് ഇൻ ദീസ് നൈൻ ഡിഫറെന്റ് വർഷസ് ഡിഫറെന്റ് ഫോംസ് കൃഷ്ണസ് ഡിഫറെന്റ് ഫോംസ് ആർ വർഷിപ് ബൈ ഡിഫറെന്റ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് വിത്ത് ഡിഫറെന്റ് പ്രേയേഴ്സ്. സോ ദാറ്റ് ഇസ് വാട്ട് യു ഫൈൻഡ് ഇൻ ദിസ് ഫിഫ്ത് കാൻറ്റോ. നൗ വാട്ട് വി ആർ ടോക്കിംഗ് അബൌട്ട്, വി ഹവ് സീൻ ദർ ദ ഫസ്റ്റ് വൺ വാസ് ഇളാവൃത വർഷം, വേർ ലോർഡ് ശിവ ഈസ് വേർഷിപ്സ് സംഘർഷണ ലോർഡ് സംഘർഷണ ദർ വിത്ത് ദ ഡിവോട്ടീസ്. ആൻഡ് ഇൻ ദി നെക്സ്റ്റ് വൺ വി ഓൾസോ സോ ദി ഇളാവൃത വർഷം. ആൻഡ് ദെൻ ആഫ്റ്റർ ദാറ്റ് വി ഹാഡ് ഭദ്രശ്രവസ് ഭദ്രാശ്വവർഷം ഇറ്റ്സ് കോൾഡ് ഫോർ ഭദ്രശ്രവസ് ഓഫറിംഗ് ദർ പ്രേയേഴ്സ്. ആൻഡ് ഇൻ ദി നെക്സ്റ്റ് വൺ വി വർ ഡിസ്കസിംഗ് ഹരിവർഷം. ഹരിവർഷം ഈസ് വെയർ ലോർഡ് നരസിംഹമൂർത്തി ഈസ് വേർഷിപ്ഡ് ബൈ പ്രഹ്ലാദ വിത്ത് ഹീസ് വെരി എലക്വന്റ് പ്രേയേഴ്സ് ഇൻ ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതം. ജസ്റ്റ് ലൈക് പ്രഹ്ലാദ സ്തുതി, പ്രഹ്ലാദ പ്രേയേഴ്സ് ഇൻ ദി ഹരിവർഷം ഈസ് ഓൾസോ വെരി പോപ്പുലർ. Mainly we have seen there the type of prayers that Prahlada has offered, where he is saying there that he mentions there, if you look into the Sosyastu Vishwasya Khalat Prasidadam, verse number 9 in chapter 18, 589. Sosyastu Vishwasya Khalat Prasidadam, Dhyayamdu Bhudhani Shivam Mithodhiya, Manaschabhadram Bhajadad Adhokshaji, Avishyadamno Madhira Pyahaitugi. The prayer's speciality with Prahlada's prayers is that he does not wish anything bad to anyone, whether it is a devotee or a demon. He says devotees will feel pleasure by Krishna's appearances, Narasimham. The demons who have their contaminated mind, let their mind get purified and they also become devotees. This is what Prahlada's prayers. Sosyastha Vishwasya Khalaprasidadam Dhyayandu Bhudhani Shivam Mithodhiya, he's saying there. And then afterwards he says to them that even though this is ultimately the goal of life, in order that to happen, he says that everybody requires salsangam. That is what Prahlada also is saying there. Look at the verse 10. Ma agara adaram almaja vitta bandushu sangam yadisyal bhagaval priyeshuna. Ya pranavrtya paridushtam alpavan siddhyatya dudrana tadhindriya priyaham. He mentions there that, first of all, let there be no attachment anywhere, asakti, excessive attachment at home, wife, children, all these society, wealth, and things like that. But if ever such an attachment develops, let that be towards your devotees. Towards your devotees, he says. So, why did he say that? He says, through salsangam, it will develop into bhakti. And in that way, I should be able to live in this world, he says. He says the benefit of that salsangam. That is what is the benefit of salsangam, is stressing that again in the next verse. If you look at verse 11, Yal sangalabdham nijavirya vaibhavam tirtham mohusam sprashadam himanasam haratya jonda shudhivir gadon gajam kovaina sevedamugunda vikramam. Verse 11, Yal sangalabdham nijavirya vaibhavam tirtham mohusam sprashadam himanasam haratya jonda shudhivir gadon gajam. The advantage is that in salsangam, devotees will talk about Krishna and Krishna's activities. Just like in the Bhagavadam, in the beginning itself, Sudha Goswami says to Shravanagrishi, Shrunodu am sakatha Krishna, punya shravanagirtana, hridyandastohi abhadrani, vidhunodi sukhral sadam. That all the time, Krishna is present in the heart of the devotees, and who is making the devotee's consciousness in a very happy state. And when that devotees glorify Krishna, at that time, the same experience develops in the heart of those who listen about Krishna's glories. And Krishna enters into their heart as well and removes all the impurities from their heart. Like in the first canto it says, Shrunadamsa Katha Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, Hridyandasohi, Abhadrani Vidhunodi, Suhril Sadam, Nashtaprayeshu, Abhadreshu, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. As mentioned there. So once Krishna is entered into the heart, automatically all the impurities are removed from there. Just like sun shines, darkness goes away. So we don't have to, once the sun shines, no necessity to say that the darkness has gone. It's already understood in that way. Only to stress that point again, it is spoken in this form. So, once Krishna is shining in the heart, then there is no space in the heart for attachment and aversion. Raga dvesham, everything disappears from the heart. And lust, anger, greed, malsaryam, envy, pride, all other things, all kinds of darkness goes away from inside once Krishna comes in. So, with the presence of Krishna or the knowledge of the self within realization, that all these things are automatically destroyed. So at that time, only when that chitta shuddhi happens, then when you are hearing about Krishna's activities and pastimes, Krishna manifests in the heart very clearly. So he is already there in the heart even now, but he is not manifesting the way we would like it, because at the same time that avidya kama karma bhi, as Kundi Devi says, avidya, kamam, karmam, three things. And avidya kama karma bhi, how, why? Because of ignorance, ajnanam inside. And the ajnanam, due to that ignorance inside, identification with the body, dehabhimanam. And through that dehabhimanam, what happens? Attachments to sense enjoyment, vishaya asakti, attachments to sense enjoyment. And because of attachment to sense enjoyment, one is working very hard in this world to acquire sense gratification, for which he engages in karmam. And then due to that karmam, it develops into karma vasana inside. In this way, a series of things are happening. Initially, Kundi Devi says, avidya kama karma bhi, isn't it? Avidya kama karma bhi. Avidya kama karmam due to ajnanam. Ajnanam or ignorance, because of that, dehabhimanam, identification with the body. Due to the identification by body, attachment to the sense enjoyment. Due to the attachment to the sense enjoyment, working hard to acquire material happiness, sensual happiness. And due to that activities, karmam, karma vasana is created inside. And with that process, he has forgotten about Krishna. This is what has happened to all of us. What has happened to all of us. So even though Krishna is present inside us, we are not experiencing Krishna's presence inside due to all these things spoken there. Avidya kama karma bhi, ajnanam, dehabhimanam, vishayasakti. Vishayasakti due to that karmam, and karmam, and again karma vasana. And therefore Krishna has been covered completely by everything. But even though it is like that, sometimes for a very split second or for a very short period of time, that everyone in this world must have experienced Krishna's presence in the heart. It is impossible to deny that. Everyone in this world will experience Krishna's presence, even though it may be for a split second. Even though ajnanam is covering, ignorance is covering inside. So, but, for example, when one engages in sadhana, when one chants the holy name very seriously and continuously for a long period of time, or one engages in the bhakti sadhana, shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, bhada, sevanam, so on and so forth, all the nine processes of sadhana, when one engages in that, and or when hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, in several instances, when the vikshepa shakti or the covering potency or deluding potency goes away from inside, vikshepam does not happen inside, at that time an unusual happiness comes from inside. When the thought waves stops coming in, when we completely block the thoughts that's coming into the mind, suddenly for a split second we experience that happiness of the soul within. And that is Krishna. Even though it is at that moment we are not free from the impurities of vikalpam completely, we have not come out of that, even with savikalpam, even then there is vedabuddhi inside, but still that 1 second what we experience Krishna at that time, Krishna's manifestation is felt inside. Only thing is, we are not aware of that it is Krishna who has given us that happiness inside. So that unusual happiness turns into a if one is able to extend it further, that that without disturbing the mind with further material thoughts or vikshepam inside, if you are able to extend in that, that is what is Prahlada is saying, that the purpose of satsangam. That even for a split second when one experiences Krishna within the heart, how to extend that experience inside, that is where satsangam is required. So, if that continues, some people who are able to do that, who have become more serious about hearing Bhagavatam or chanting the holy name, whichever way it is, it can be extended instead of a second or a minute to further to 10 or 15 minutes in that way. And in that way, some people absorb in the whole day for hours together of Krishna's presence in the heart. So it is this way that we go further in spiritual life, not remain in the waiting for somebody to come and open it up. As much as we hear in Bhagavatam and our attention is focused in the Srimad Bhagavatam, accordingly, correspondingly, Krishna within the heart opens up and take away that vikshepam that is coming and disturbs the mind, which is covering this, what we spoke about before, that is taken out and experience of Krishna is felt for a longer period of time. So, everybody agrees with this, that those who have taken the spiritual life seriously and those who have practicing it regularly, they will know this, that at some instance or the other, they would have felt Krishna's presence inside. How that presence comes out, not in the personal form, but experience of that bliss of Krishna's presence inside. So, unfortunately, when such experience comes, normally we do not try to extend that. Instead, before that, other thoughts comes and it takes away the shanti inside. Therefore, through satsangam and hearing about Krishna, Krishna will continue to manifest within the heart, and Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's activity, Srimad Bhagavatam, it is considered to be like a tirtham, like he mentioned before, which purifies one's heart. There are so many other tirthams in this world, Ganga river, Yamuna river, Narmada, Kaveri, and so many rivers. But most of the rivers are capable of removing the dirt from the body, but in order that the subtle body to be purified, one has to take to Krishna's pastimes. Srimad Bhagavatam, in other words. So, if you daily bathe in Ganga river, and if you offer your respects to Mother Ganga every day, over a period of time, a small amount of purity will definitely happen. But how will that be? How will that purification will be? That also is spoken here. That actual purification is through satsangam. Because normally in all these holy rivers, banks of these holy rivers, and also in the temples and famous places where generally devotees come to these places. So, when we are glorifying Ganga Devi, Ganga and the banks of river Ganga Devi, if we get an opportunity to associate with such devotees, that is a possibility that it can purify our heart and develop bhakti in the heart. This is an opportunity for that. So, Tirtham, like it mentioned in the first canto, Tirthi Kurvandi Tirthani, isn't it? Tirthi Kurvandi Tirthani. Tirtham gets purified by the presence of those great devotees who come to bathe in those rivers. It is their presence that makes the holy rivers a purificatory power that creates inside. So, directly by bathing in the river, it does not purify. It's only due to the presence of the great personalities who come, great devotees who come to bathe in the river. Due to their association, one gets purified. Tirtham or rivers do not have the capacity to purify us directly, whereas the devotees have the capacity to purify us directly. That's what you find in the Bhagavatam. So, in this age of Kali, that association is Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the association for that. And Srimad Bhagavatam, studying, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, all this is the greatest satsangam in the age of Kali. So, why do we come and sit and listen to Bhagavatam? Because Sometimes we do not know how to value that of the glory of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why in the Kanavanishad says, Mahadi Venashti. Mahadi Venashti. We are participating, but at the same time, we are not aware how much purification we are getting from Salsangam and how much bhakti it is developing in the heart. We are not conscious of that. So, how far we get it, it depends on our own mind. Depends on our own mind. Once we analyze our own mind, we will understand that. If we are not feeling that any purification inside, one has to think, why I am not feeling that purity in the heart? Because if you hear Srimad Bhagavatam with a very light heart, without giving much value to it, therefore, we will not have the benefit from that. How far we take it seriously? Gaurava Buddhi. There is two things. One is a Lakhava Buddhi. Lakhava Buddhi means that in a very light-hearted way, taking, here is some stories, let's hear what the stories are. In that approach, not taking anything seriously. But one who takes Srimad Bhagavatam very seriously and studying Bhagavatam, hearing Bhagavatam, thinking about that and living in that way, that will have a drastic effect on the development of bhakti in the heart, and also the benefit of Salsangam will be felt at that time. So, therefore, when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, how important it is to take that seriousness inside. So, darshanayena sadhava, and the Bhagavatam says like that. Darshanayena sadhava. So, actually, Srimad Bhagavatam is the Salsangam. Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but Salsangam. So, and the benefit of that also will depend on the person who, how far he takes that seriously. In the, you can see this in the Mahalpyam of Bhagavadam, in the Palmaburanam when it is spoken. Gokarna's Saptaham happened in Haridwar. So, when the second time, or third time when it happened, first time Shukha Brahmarshi to Parikshit, second time to Sudha Goswami to Shavanagrishi in Naimisharanyam, and the third time in Haridwar where Srimad Bhagavatam was read, Gokarna was reading Srimad Bhagavatam. At that time, Dundugari was there, his brother, who had a ghostly body, unable to come out of that, having engaged in so many sinful things. So, after the Saptaham was over, everyone witnessed. Dundugari was present there in a bamboo. The bamboo broke up and Dundugari left the bamboo and went back to the spiritual world in a spiritual body. All others who were present there, they witnessed this scene. If you read the Bhagavad Mahalpyam in the Puranam, you will find this. Everybody witnessed this. Four Kumaras were there. Uddhava was there. Prahlada was there. Many other personalities were there. Only Dundugari alone, it so happened that Dundugari alone got released from his ghostly body and gone back to the spiritual world. So there, Gokarna is talking to the Vishnududas. Why did this happen in this way? So there were so many other people. It was like Shiva Brahmarshi spoke to Parikshit, it was a 7-day Bhagavatam was spoken there. So Gokarna asked Vishnududas, why did this happen in this way? There were so many others who were listening to Bhagavatam. So hearing Bhagavatam is not only through the ear. It's not only through the ears. The vichepam that is coming into the mind must go, and these same pastimes of Krishna, what is spoken in the Bhagavatam, that if your mind is also absorbed in that, it will have a tremendous effect from that. Hearing not only with the ear, but with the mind as well. With the mind as well. So, so those who are present there, all of them have heard with the ear, but they didn't hear with the mind. They didn't hear with the mind. Mind was still absorbed in the other thoughts. So therefore, that experience they didn't have. It is at that time that Vishnududa says to Gokarna, like this, that the experience will come only excited way. One listens to Srimad Bhagavatam very intensely and absorbs everything what is being spoken in the Bhagavatam. And that is where we are failing. We fail in that. So, because the reason for that is also there, that why we fail in that way, the main enemies or main problems what we face is Rajogunam and Tamogunam. These two things, Rajogunam and Tamogunam, are our enemies, isn't it? When Vikshepam comes, that means thought waves are coming, and or when we feel sleepy, or the mind goes into layam or dissolves, all at that time, these two things are, Rajogunam and Tamogunam is causing this. Vikshepam is all Rajogunam. Layam or dissolving the mind goes to sleep, that is Tamogunam. When they come, we have to forcefully come out of that, and that is called sadhana. Through sadhana, one has to come out of that. When we feel fed up with Bhagavatam, when we are not able to find any interest in the Srimad Bhagavatam, or our mind is going and dissolving somewhere without or feeling sleepy, all these things are due to Tamogunam. Due to Tamogunam. So, our real enemy is this Tamogunam. And the real enemy, feeling sleepy, is because of Tamogunam. And the mind not able to focus on that and going in every other place, all over, everywhere, that is due to Rajogunam. The mind's Vikshepam, the mind going into all other places and gets attracted to all other things in this world, and due to all other activities in this world, is due to Rajogunam. And the reason why we feel sleepy and fall off into Layam, that happens due to Tamogunam. So, it has to be forcefully checked. And we have to always remember this while hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So, when these things are spoken in the Shastram, and if Shastram is saying something, it is not spoken in a very light-hearted way, in a very serious way it is spoken. But even though Shastram tells us all these things very openly and straightforward, in order that the experience to happen, we have to put the effort. We have to put the effort. So, we ourselves have to hear for our benefit. No other person can help us on this matter. And we have to experience, that means we have to put the effort for that. And that itself is a sadhana. That itself is a sadhana. So, similarly, talking about Krishna is also, it's not just talking some stories. It is a sadhana in itself. And when we speak about Krishna with concentration and with seriousness, only at that time, the person who is talking about it also will have the same experience of that. And the person who is experiencing that, when he is talking about that, the person who is listening it also will have the same experience, and he will have the benefit of that. So, according to the speaker, the benefit to the listeners as well. And it will create that Shraddha in the heart of the listener, in the heart of the listener. So, with Shraddha, the speaker speaks a Srimad Bhagavatam, it will also create the same Shraddha in the heart of the listeners as well. So, naturally, between the speakers and the listener, there is a bondage is created. And when that bondage is created, that is when Bhakti, Jnanam, Vairagyam, these things will develop in the heart of the listener. So, for example, in a huge assembly, say thousands of people sitting there, you have spoken Bhagavatam. Suppose somebody has spoken Bhagavatam. But because of the large number, that will not create any satisfaction to the speaker, because of the large number of people. What creates, suppose there are thousands of people coming, going, visiting, and looking at the various scenes, but they are not attracted to the message. That is of no interest to the speaker. What interest to the speaker is a small group of people, but who are very serious about it. This is what matters. So even in a small assembly, that when they are listening to it with a great attention, Shraddha, that creates a satisfaction for the speaker as well as, and speaker also feel the benefit from that. And when those who are listening to that with Shraddha, and when they hear that, Krishna manifests in their heart as well. So that is why the importance of Salsangam. He is saying here, Yal Sangalabdham Nijavirya Vaibhavam Tirtham Mohosam Sprasadam Himanasam Haratya Jondashudibir Gadongajam Kovei Naseveda Mugunda Vikramam. He says here that that in the association of devotees, you hear about the glories of Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's unusual qualities, which does not exist in the human society. But at these pastimes, when it enters into our heart through the eyes and the ears, and it destroys the impurities within the heart, Tirtham Tamuhu Samsprashadam Angadam Angajam Alameva Harati, Ganga River and so many other holy rivers, when they bathe in those rivers, it only purifies their body, but is not purifying the vasanas inside. Tan kavai na sevet seveta. So whereas the devotees, association with them, it purifies the heart. It purifies the heart. So, it is at that time Krishna manifests in the heart, not by bathing in the river. This is why in the next verse you see famous, Yasyasya bhakti bhagavatya kinchana, Yasyasya bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana, sarvai gunai satra sama sade suram, harava bhaktasya kudo mahal guna, manoradhena sadi dhavado bahi. Yasyasya bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana, sarvai gunai satra sama sade suram, harava bhaktasya kudo mahal guna, manoradhena sadi dhavado bahi. That one who has not bhakti in the heart, it is they who will acquire these qualities, which are the dharmam, jnanam, and all the other qualities. Dharma jnanadivi saha. Yasya asti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana sarvai gunai satra samasade suraha. Because all the great qualities manifest in the heart of that person, or all the demigods are present there in their heart. And what it means is that this dharmam, jnanam, all the sarvai gunastatra, see the words, sarvai gunastatra samasade sura. All the great qualities are demigods. Dharmam, jnanam, vairagyam, shri, they are all demigods. They manifest in the heart of a person who has taken salsangam in that way. Yasyasya bhakti bhagavatya ginjana sarvai guna isyatra samasade surya harava bhaktasya kuto mahal guna manoradhena asadi dhavado bahi. Prahlada says there. So he's saying that those who are got bhakti in the heart, in their heart all these demigods are present in their heart. Dharmam, jnanam, vairagyam, shri, all the god qualities are demigods, they are represented by the demigods, they are present in their heart. But one who does not take Krishna consciousness, one who does not take to Krishna consciousness, and those who are running after the sense gratification in this world, or one who is absorbed in the thoughts of sense gratification, or enjoying sense gratification here, how will he have any of these qualities? Prahlada is saying there. Yasyasya bhakti bhagavatya kinchana sarvai gunaistatra samasade sura harava bhaktasya. One who has no devotion to Krishna, one who is not a devotee, kuto mahal gunaha. How will he have any higher qualities? He is saying here that mahal guna means bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam. These are the mahal gunas. Harava bhaktasya kuto mahal guna. How will he have self-realization? How will he understand who he is? How will he know who he is? So in this way, Narasimha Murti is glorified by Prahlada in the Harivarsham. In the Harivarsham, he is glorifying, Prahlada is glorifying Narasimham in the Harivarsham in this way. Yasya astya bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana sarvai gunai satra samasate suraha harava bhaktasya kuto mahal guna. How will all the great qualities will happen to that person? Mano radhena sadi dhavado bahi. Because his mind is completely occupied with thoughts of enjoyment, of sense enjoyment. That due to that, is the word saying is, mano radhena sadi dhavato bahi. Bahi means, his mind has gone into the world outside too much. Too far it has gone, unable to pull it back. Krishna situated within the heart, from whom all happiness comes, he is not able to focus on that. Why? His mind has gone into the world too far. Mano radhena sadi dhavato bahi. It has gone outside like mental chariot, as they say. It is that chariot has gone too far from inside. That is why that verse is important. Verse 12. Then in the next few more verses, Prahlada is talking the same thing. Harir hi sarshal bhagavil sharirinam panjashanam iva toyam ipsidam itva mahamstam yadi sajjade grihe tadamahatvam vayasa dambadinam. So, So that is what is happening in the Harivarsham, which we have now seen. Harivarsham. Harivarshe chapi bhagavan narahari rupenaste. Then after that, the next one is Ketumala. Ketumala Varsham. There are 9 Varshams. This is the Ketumala Varsham talking about. In Ketumala, what is happening is that there Krishna is present as Kamadeva, the Cupid. And main person who is worshipping there is Lakshmi Devi. Lakshmi Devi is worshipping there as Kamadeva. You will see the verse 19-20. What does Lakshmi Devi has to say? The other verses are talking about the activities, what's going on Kedumala Varsham, that Kedumale bhi Bhagavan, Kamadeva Surubena Labdhua, Lakshmiya, Priya Chikirshaya, Prajapade Dhugranam, Putranam, Tadvurshapadinam, Purushayusho, Ahoratram, Parisankhyananam, Yasam Garbham, Mahaburusha Maha Astra Dejasobadeja Manasam, Vidvasta Vyasava, Samval Sarande Vinipatandi, and goes on like that. And then says, Om Hram Krim Hrum Om Namo Bhagavate Hrishikeshaya Sarvaguna Visheshair Vilakshidalpane Aku Tinam Chitinam Chedasam Visheshenam Chadipataye Shodashakalaya Chandomayaya Annamayaya Amrutamayaya Sarvamayaya Sahase Ojase Balaya Kandaya Kamaya Namaste Upayatra Bhuyal. These are the mantram for worshipping Kamadeva. Lakshmi Devi worships there. But what is important there is what Lakshmi Devi had to say to the world. Lakshmi Devi is saying here, verse 19, Striyo vridaiswa hrishikeshwaram swato aradhya loge padimasha sadenyam tasamna devai paribandhya patyam priyam dhanayum shiyato aswatandraham. Striyo vridaiswa hrishikesham swato hrishikeshwaram swato Aradhya loge parimasha sadityam tasamna devai paribandhya patyam priyam dhanayum shi yado sudandra. Generally, women worship with various means, fasting and chanting, and various ways they worship Krishna. They worship Krishna. But at the same time, they want to have a good husband. Worshipping Krishna, want to have a good husband. But Lakshmi Devi is saying to them that these husbands you are looking for in this world, they are not able to give you any shelter, any protection, because they themselves are helpless in this world. And Lakshmi Devi says, therefore, I have taken completely to Krishna's shelter, completely to Krishna's shelter as my husband. Lakshmi Devi's statement this is. And she also says, because these husbands whom I have taken shelter in this world, they are unable to protect me, therefore they are not even actually husbands. Why? Savai padisyal agudo bhaya swayam samandada padi bhaya duram janam sa ega evedarada mitho bhayam naivalpmala bhadadi manyade param. First of all, he says, one who is fearless and one who is able to protect those who have taken his shelter from all fears, he is that person who is the actual husband. And that person who does not desire anything in this world except self-realization, and he is the only person who is actually freedom from, who is totally independent. Instead of that, if a person has many, many desires in the heart, that means that person also is not totally free from all the entanglements here. The way Lakshmi Devi puts it, she says like this, normally people serve you. Lakshmi Devi is saying that normally women serve the Krishna, that they want to have a good husband, educated, qualified, and one who is capable of giving them all the protection they require. But that is not a very nice thing, because what she is saying is that on the one hand, they are looking for someone who is like Krishna outside in this world, which is not possible. So, but when somebody approaches Krishna in that way, Krishna fulfills that desire, but that woman who is worshipping Krishna in this way, her desire is fulfilled by Krishna, but even though she has got a husband like that, her distress does not go away from her life. She still feels a lot of distress in life. Even though she has got a husband, Krishna has given her a husband according to her desire, but she does not realize that the husband is unable to remove all her distress from her life. Because that person is unable to protect her children or even himself from the dangers of this world. While the husband is present in this world, she gets into trouble in this world somehow. Sometimes she gets into some danger. Similarly, when the husband is there, at the same time, the children gets into trouble. Even though she has taken shelter of the husband, after praying to Krishna and got a husband, and that husband is unable to provide every shelter for her, either for her or for the children. Even when the husband is present in this world, the wife gets into trouble, in some trouble, problems. Or the children gets into trouble. And at the same time, after working hard and acquired wealth, that wealth is also getting destroyed. In one way or the other, they lose the wealth. And husband is unable to do anything about it. So, if you require, look at the word husband or bhartha, that is the word it is used. In the Bhagavad Gita also, gather bhartha, Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Sharanam Suhral. So, bhartha means one who is capable of protecting. So, therefore, not knowing that person who is capable of offering protection is Krishna, she goes and takes shelter of someone, and that person is unable to give the shelter and protection what she is looking for. So, therefore, she says that they are foolish, and that's why she says here, Savai pati syal അകുതോ ഭയസ്വയം സമന്തത പാതി ഭയാതുരം ജനം സ ഏക ഏവേ തരഥാ മിഥോ ഭയം നൈവ ആത്മലാഭാധതി മന്യതേ പരം. ദാറ്റ് proper husband must be on his own, he should be fearless first, and he should not be fearful about anything else. Apart from that, he should be able to offer protection to those who has taken his shelter. Such a person only can be called as a husband or bharta. But and that real husband is only Krishna, nobody else. That is what Lakshmi Devi is saying in Kedumala Varsham to Kamadeva. He is saying here. So, she says, many women, they wanted a good husband, they married, found a husband and married him. But the husband himself is fearful all the time. Then what will happen? That's what he is saying here. Because he is living in this world fearful of different illnesses or diseases that's going to come for the body. He is also frightened about the death all the time. And when the husband is like this, what shelter can he provide to the wife? To the wife. So he himself is fearful, and how can he be capable of offering shelter to the wife? So, how can he protect the wife in that situation, isn't it? And relieve her fear from her heart. Only, Lakshmi Devi's point is, only when one is totally free from all kinds of fear, he alone can offer shelter to anybody else in this world. And that is only Krishna. That's only Krishna. Abhayam vai Brahmam. Says Upanishad. So the only place, the only person who has no fear inside is Krishna. Krishna is the only person who has no fear inside. So one who has his mind fixed in Krishna, he also becomes fearless. He also becomes fearless. He comes to that state of abhayam, fearlessness. He is established in the fearlessness stage. Yajnavalkya Maharshi says this in the Upanishad to Janaka. He says this to Janaka. So after instructing the knowledge of the soul to Janaka, Yajnavalkya Maharshi says there that the only person who is free from all fear is Krishna. And only he alone is able to protect others from the all kinds of fear. Why is Krishna fearless? Because why is Krishna fearless? That is why. Why is that? That's what that verse is saying. Almalabhadadi manyade param. Almalabham. Almalabham means that all time Krishna is aware who he is. That almalabham. He has got its back. That Alma. Sa ega eve daratha mito bhayam. നൈവ ആത്മലാഭാദതി മന്യതേ പരം. ആത്മലാഭം മീൻസ് ദാറ്റ് വൺ ഹൂ ഈസ് ഫുള്ളി കോൺഷ്യസ് ഓൾ ദ ടൈം ദാറ്റ് ഹീ ഈസ് എറ്റേണൽ ബ്ലിസ്ഫുൾ ആൻഡ് ഫുൾ ഓഫ് നോളജ് ആൻഡ് ഹീ ഈസ് പ്യുർ സ്പിരിറ്റ് സോൾ. ദിസ് അവയർനെസ് ഇൻസൈഡ്, ഓൺലി സച്ച് എ പേഴ്സൺ വിൽ ബി ഫ്രീ ഫ്രം ഓൾ കൈൻഡ്സ് ഓഫ് ഫിയർ. ആൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് നോട്ട് ഈവൻ ഫോർ എ സെക്കൻഡ് ഹീ ഫോൾസ് അവേ ഫ്രം ഹീസ് സ്പിരിച്വൽ ഐഡന്റിറ്റി. All the time established in the truth, established in his spiritual identity. So one who is in that state, always aware that he is the soul, such a person says here, or who is totally absorbed in the Swarupananda Anubhuti. That means one who is totally conscious of who he is and he is absorbed in his identity as a spirit soul. Such a person, he does not require the help of anything else in this world. And external objects also does not have any interest for him. He has no asakti or attachment anywhere. External objects, profits and loss, and all these things does not frighten him anymore. because he knows very well himself who he is. That is the reason behind that. Because he knows that, who he is, even the death does not frighten him, because he knows who he is. He knows who he is. So, only Krishna, who is in that state all the time, never affected by anything from outside, he alone is capable of putting us into that situation and able to free us from the fear what we experience in this world and able to protect us. So therefore, only Krishna should be accepted as the husband. Lakshmi Devi is advice to all the women. So when we say like that, this applies to, in the eyes of the Shastram, all the men are also women here, female. All the male are also female. There is no, Purusha is only Krishna. Everybody else is Prakriti. Anyone who is trapped in this material world, under the influences, modes of nature, under the influence of Maya or Prakriti, they are all female. That is the way you have to understand. It's not only the women are addressed to. We are all actually women in the sense that actual Purusha is only Krishna. Because Bhartha, the word used, is in the strict sense. In the strict sense, it's the one who is capable of protecting others. Gadar Bharta, Prabhu Sakshi, Nivasa, Sharanam, Sukharal, Prabhava, Pralayasthanam, Nidhanam, Bijamavyayam. In the Bhagavad Gita, you will see these verses. He is the Bharta, or actual husband of everyone. Krishna is the husband. So, it is not spoken in the material terminology, Bharta. Material terminology, Bharta means normally we say in our Vyavaharam language, the husband is addressed as the, man is addressed as the husband, and the woman is addressed as the wife. It is not in that sense it is spoken here. What is spoken here is that everyone who is trapped in the material energy is a female. And we have to, as a female, we have to have a husband. And that husband can only be Krishna and nobody else. Because a proper husband is one who is able to give shelter and remove the fear of death, remove all the fear due to the material existence. And that's only Krishna. He alone is situated in that state, completely absorbed in the self, who knows who he is, that he has nothing to do with the body. In that way, who is situated, and that is Krishna. Therefore, his shelter must be taken, says here. So, Bharta means, in strict terms, it means one who is able to give protection. And that person is only Krishna. And if we take Krishna's shelter, in due course of time, if we become Krishna conscious, if we take Krishna's shelter, in due course of time, we will also become fearless. So, why do we become fearless? Due to this. What is that? Atmalabhadadimanyade param atmalabham. Because we get back our identity, who we are. Once we get that identity of our proper identity, then this fear due to material body and material life will go away from inside. So that is why the word used is Swarupananda Anubhuti. That means once we come to our proper identity of the spirit soul, we become fearless and we will also be able to remain in without any disturbances here. So other story is like this. In the small kingdoms, when they had kings who were ruling small kingdoms, the emperor who controls a small number of small kingdoms, he won't be frightened about them because the smaller kingdoms, the kings who are ruling them, they are always frightened about other kings who can attack them. They will never be free from fear. So, similarly, our situation also is like this, that even though we may have acquired qualifications in this world, and we have acquired positions in this world, but our situation is like this, that just like the kings who are ruling the smaller kingdoms, who are always fearful of the other kings who are likely to attack them and snatch their territory or authority in that way. Whereas the emperor is not disturbed about that, because all these smaller kingdoms and the kings are under his subjugation. So the men, or generally talking about the people in this world, who have acquired some position in this world, or who have acquired some reputation in this world, they are always fearful that when they are going to lose it at some point or the other, isn't it? Due to various reasons, they are also fearful, not only losing their position in this world, they are also fearful about themselves. Why? We do not know when the disease will come and attack this body. Or inside, in the very core of the heart, there is always the fear of death also. When the death will come, how death will come, and what will be the end, how the end will be. All this fear, in a subtle level, is operating in everyone's heart, isn't it? So, but to come out of that, and totally being fearless, properly fearless, in order to live like that, it's only possible for those people. What Prabhupada is saying is, here, Lakshmi Devi is saying here, sa eka eve darada mitho bhayam naiv atma labhad adi manyade param. Nobody else, unless one has atma labham, one who has got back his spiritual identity. Then she says here, therefore, when we go to Krishna, that approaching Krishna and asking for help should be only for this getting our identity back, spiritual identity back. That should be the only sangalpam inside our heart when we approach Krishna. Any other sangalpam will create problems. She is saying that in the next verse. Yatasyade padasaryoruharhanam nikamayet sa akhila kamalam pada tadeva rasi ipsidam ipsidorchido yal bhagna yajna bhagavan pratapyade. Yatasyade padasaryoruharhanam nikamayet sa akhila kamalam pada tadeva rasi ipsidam ipsidorchido yal bhagna yajna bhagavan pratapyade. So when Lakshmi Devi is saying here that any woman who is, which she refers to both men and women in this world, you have to always understand it that way. It is in reference to the spiritual realization it is spoken, not in terms of material life. It is spoken in terms of spiritual life. So she is saying there that one who approaches Krishna only to fulfill those desires, one's own desires. There are many people who approaches Krishna with that desires, isn't it? They fulfill their desires one way or the other, it gets fulfilled. If not fulfilled in this life, it will get fulfilled in another life. Once you have asked Krishna something, it will be given at some point in time. It may not be straight away, but it will happen over the time. Why? Because you have created the vasana inside, and that's sufficient. Everything will work out from that. So, those who have that desires inside, I want to have a good husband, or I want to have a lot of wealth, or I want to have good children, all these desires will eventually manifest in one form or the other. But even though you may have all these things, the distress in life does not go away with that, isn't it? So, what else is there? Because all these things what we are asking Krishna to give happiness for us in this world, they also one day gets destroyed. They also don't stay forever. So total elimination or total wiping out the distress is not happening there. Distress is not totally wiped out. It's only a temporary relief for the moment. Not only that, one who has asked Krishna for to have children, he may have children afterwards, or wealth, he may have the wealth afterwards, but all the other desires which comes later, that is not fulfilled with that, isn't it? So those who have approached Krishna for fulfilling desires, only those particular desires gets fulfilled, nothing else. And again, next time, when fresh desires comes up, again you have to go back to Krishna asking for that. So, But one who approaches Krishna without any of those desires, only with the desire of having Krishna, that means with the whole desire of knowing the self or realizing the self, one who lives in that world and serves Krishna in that way, automatically all other desires get fulfilled. How is that? Because other desires either leave them and go away. That is how it happens. So this is the subtle side of that. That Krishna is here, Lakshmi Devi is saying here, that once they get Krishna, then they don't want anything else. Other desires will naturally leave them. So all of us, we are desiring one thing or the other, because thinking that if we get that particular desire fulfilled, then we think we will be happy in this world, isn't it? So the ultimate happiness of all, which is, there is one in the Upanishad, there is a part called Ananda Mimamsa. Ananda Mimamsa, which is a special chapter there in the Upanishad. This Ananda Mimamsa says there that it talks about the happiness among the human species. There is a kind of happiness which is among us, isn't it? Similarly, in the higher planets also, among the demigods, there is a state of happiness, which is different than our state of happiness. Our state of happiness is like this: we have a lot of money and reasonably good health, a good marriage, good children, and sufficient money, and no stress. And we are able to live, that more or less satisfies the human society. Demigods are not like that. Their state of happiness is different than us. They will feel very silly seeing our happiness here. They won't be attracted by all our standard of happiness. And similarly, if you go to Lord Brahma's planet and look at the people who live in Brahma's planet and their standard of happiness, which is again different than the happiness of the demigods. So this state of happiness, what we are referring to, what we are looking for here, is not the ultimate state of happiness. That's what he's saying here. So of all the different levels of happiness in this universe, what we can imagine, the highest is that happiness in Brahma's planet. Not our happiness, not the human species, not the demigod species, but is the highest species in this universe, which is Lord Brahma and his planets. And they say that happiness what you receive in Lord Brahma's planet, that is even just a drop of the happiness that is available from the soul. It is only a drop of that happiness what's available from the soul. That is how it is compared about that. So, Brahmam. That is why this happiness of the soul is spoken so strongly in the Upanishads, that till we experience that, we won't know that there is a higher standard of happiness than what we are talking about here. So, a person who has reached that state of happiness, how can he have any kind of desire in this world after that? This is what Ananda Mimamsa says. When a person has experienced that happiness, a drop of that happiness from the soul, which is even higher than the happiness in the planet of Lord Brahma, which is far higher than the happiness among the demigods, which is even far higher than the happiness of the human species. So a person who has received the happiness of the soul, how will he have any time further again to acquire some happiness in this world from that? Because he is so absorbed in that happiness of the soul, it meets up all his needs. He doesn't require anything more from outside. So therefore, Kshudragamam means very things which are giving very, very, very limited happiness, and also such sense object, he will not have any attachment for that. So this is saying here, Ya tasyade pada saroru harhanam nikamayet sahila kamalampada tadevaras ipsido archido yad bhagnayajnya bhagavan pratapyate. Saying this, he says there that Matpraptayo jesasira asuradaya stapyanda mugram dhavama indriye dhiya hrde bhaval pada parayanam namam vindandeham todhradaya yato jidaham. So she says, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and other demigods, when they, even them, sometimes attraction due to the sense enjoyment, they perform austerities and penances to please Lakshmi Devi. But only those who have taken, Lakshmi Devi is saying here, only those who have taken shelter of your lotus feet, Krishna's lotus feet, none of them are actually successful. And me, I am always absorbed in the thoughts of you, Krishna, says Lakshmi Devi. In other words, Krishna is, Lakshmi Devi is saying here, only those who are glorifying Krishna, they are very dear to me. And therefore, Lakshmi Devi is praying for Krishna's mercy again in that way. So, Krishna is capable of fulfilling all desires. Therefore, he is called Kalpavraksham. But one who has taken Krishna's shelter, these smaller desires, happiness in this world, is not anymore an attraction for him. But even those little desires, if he had anything, it will automatically get fulfilled in the life here. But she is again stressing that point. One who approaches Krishna for Shudragamam. Shudragamam means only for fulfilling the temporary and very limited desires of this world. They are considered to be very foolish. Instead, when they receive Krishna's shelter, or when they have realized the truth, self-realization happens to them, he becomes automatically pleased inside. So one should worship Krishna to get Krishna, not for fulfilling desires. That's what it says here. Mat praptaye jesha surasuradayam tapyanda ugram tapa aindriye dhiya hrude bhaval pada parayanannamam vindandyaham tu dhadaya yato ajida. And that due to my, when I am pleased, Lakshmi Devi is saying there, or with my blessings, she says, they will receive the mercy of Krishna, who is the who owns everything. And Brahma and others, they perform austerities and penances to please me, but they are unable to please me because my heart is always absorbed in you. Of course, here in this Kedumala Varsham, Lakshmi Devi is addressing to Kamadeva, who is Krishna's another form. My heart is always with you, and only when they pleases you, it will please me. Lakshmi Devi says there, because you are the most dearest person to me. And whoever thinks that, whoever Krishna thinks is dear to them, they become naturally dear to me as well. Whoever Krishna thinks is dear to him, Lakshmi Devi is saying here that they naturally become dear to me as well. When we say Lakshmi Devi here, we have to look at it this way. Lakshmi Devi means that potency of Krishna where all our desires gets fulfilled. That is why Kamadeva is the Cupid, is mentioned in that way, that the people approach Krishna for fulfilling desires, isn't it? So they will receive all the blessings from me when they have taken your shelter, says Lakshmi Devi. So even those who worship Lakshmi Devi, thinking that they want to fulfill their desires, they should also worship actually Krishna. And Lakshmi Devi is making that very clear in the next verse. Satvam mama chachuda mama apyachuda shirshni vandidam karambujam yatvadadhai satvadam ബിഭർഷിമാം ലക്ഷ്മവരേണ്യമായ ക ഈശ്വരസ്യഹിതമുഹിതം വിഭൂ ഇതി സത്വം മമാപ്യച്യുത ശീർഷ്ണി വന്ദിതം കരാംബുജം യത്വദധായി സാത്വതം ബിഭർഷിമാം ലക്ഷ്മവരേണ്യമായ ക ഈശ്വരസ്യഹിതമുഹിതം വിഭൂ ഇതി. സോ ലക്ഷ്മിദേവി സേസ് ടു കാമദേവ that you should put your hand on top of my head and bless me in such a way that only then I will have the satisfaction. But it is not happening. Are you unhappy with me? She says here. Is that because I have not shown sufficient respect for you and you have installed me in your chest, as Lakshmi Devi is always present in Krishna's chest, and at the same time, you put your hands on top of the great devotees like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and you have done that to them. Why you do not do the same thing to me? If you ask the question like that, there is no answer for that, because nobody is able to understand what is going through Krishna's thoughts, how Krishna is thinking about that. So then Lakshmi Devi is saying to Kamadeva that one day, just like you put your hands on top of Prahlada's head and blessed him, I am hoping that the same thing you will do it to me. Lakshmi Devi says to Kamadeva, that's all I can do, and that is what is mentioned in that verse. Sattvam mama pachyuda shirshni vanditam karambujam yat tadadhai sattvadam വിഭർഷിമാം ലക്ഷ്മ വരേണ്യ മായയാക ഈശ്വരസ്യഹിതമോഹിതം വിഭു. സോ നോബഡി അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡ്സ് വാട്ട് കൃഷ്ണ തിങ്സ് അബൌട്ട് ഓൾ ദ ഗ്രേറ്റ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ്. ഈവൻ ലക്ഷ്മിദേവി സെയിങ് ഹിയർ ദാറ്റ് ഇവൻ നരസിംഹം അപ്പിയേർഡ്, പ്രഹ്ലാദ വാസ് ഓൺലി പേഴ്സൺ ഹൂ കുഡ് അപ്രോച്ച് നരസിംഹം, ഹൂ വാസ് blessed by Narasimha with both hands on top of his head and gave assurance to Prahlada not to be frightened about anything. Lakshmi Devi is saying, even though I am in your heart, present there, still I have not received this blessing what Prahlada has received. I am hoping that one day, like the way Prahlada has received that mercy, I will also receive the same thing from you. Prahlada has become fearless. Why? Because of this blessing from Narasimham. That is what is pointed out. That instead of directly saying that in relationship with Prahlada and Narasimham, Lakshmi Devi is putting it in this way. Sattvam mamapi achyuta shirshni vanditam karambujam yat tadadhai sattvadam vibarshimam lakshma varenyam ayaya ka ishrasehidam uhidam vibho iti. So after that, we go into the next Varsham. So we have seen Ilavrata Varsham, we have seen Bhadrasya Varsham, we have seen Ketumala Varsham, and we have also seen Hari Varsham. Isn't it? The last one was Ketumala, and prior to that it was Hari Varsham. Hari Varsham. Where Hari Varsham in Ilavrata Varsham, Lord Shiva offering prayers to Sankarsana, Lord Balaram, with other devotees. Ilavrata Varsham. Then Bhadrasya Varsham, we have seen there that Dharma is worshipped by Hayashirsha form, Hayagriva form, by Bhadrasya Varsha, another rishi, and with all the other devotees. They are offering prayers to Bhadrasya Varsha. Then after that in Hari Varsham, Narasimhamurti is offered prayers by Prahlada. Then after that, in Ketumala Varsham, Kamadeva is offered prayers by Lakshmi Devi. Now the next one is called Ramyaka Varsham. In this Ramyaka Varsham, another form of Krishna, which is Malsyavadaram, fish incarnation of Krishna, there where Satyavrata Muni, Satyavrata, King Satyavrata worships fish incarnation there, that who became later on Vaivasvata Manu, isn't it? Shraddhadeva. Satyavrata became Shraddhadeva and he was born as the son of Vaivasvata Manu. And he has become Vaivasvamanu, Vivasvan's son. He became Vaivasvamanu. And he offers his prayers to Malsyamurti, or fish incarnation, or Malsyamurti, in this Ramyaka Varsham. And that is what, if you see the verse 24, Ramyaka Echam Bhagavada Priyadamam Malsyam Avadara Rupam Tadvarsha Purushasya Mano Prak Pradarshidam Sa Idanima Bimahada Bhakti Yogena Aradhaya Deepam Cheda Haradim. Ramyaka Varsham, that in that Ramyaka Varsham, Malsyamurti is present there. Krishna is present there in the form of Malsyamurti, and that Malsyavadaram, which was you will see this in the 8th canto, 24th chapter. There's only one chapter. And as he mentioned before, this fish incarnation, Sri Rishabha Brahmarshi offers obeisances there, like Rishabhadev. It's the second one. Jinma meenam natosmi, he says. Isn't it? So, with great devotion, Vaivasvadamanu offers his respects to Malsyamurti in the Ramyaka Varsham. Om namo bhagavate mukhyatamaya nama sattvaya pranaya ujase sahase velaya mahamalsyaya nama iti. He's saying there that the devotee here is Vaivasvadamanu, who in his previous life was called Satyavrata, the king Satyavrata. So this form was revealed only to Satyavrata before, which is now revealed to Vaivasvadamanu, the fish form, fish incarnation. So that Malsyamurti, Krishna is present as the Malsyamurti, Vaivasvadamanu is offering his prayers to him there. Om namo bhagavate mukhyatamaya nama sattvaya pranaya ujase sahase balaya mahamalsyaya nama iti. He says here that prana aujase sahase, pranan, the shakti in us. Pranan means the life air in us. We take food, it gets converted into form of energy inside in the body. That energy is called pranan. That energy is called pranan. So anything what we consume, it gets converted into an energy, and that is called pranan. And all the activities of this world, it is working under the direction of this pranan. Pranan is a force, life force in all of us, in every living being. It is present as pranan. Pranan is the force that, like all living entities, they consume food in different forms. The plants and trees, creepers, they consume food in their way. Animals consume food in their way. The human beings consume food in their way. All of them consumes food in different ways. And from food, they acquire the energy to do the... But that energy that they receive from the food is the same. Even though it's coming from different sources, different kinds of food, different living entities are acquiring that power to operate in this world. That power is the same nature in every living entity. But that power is converted in different forms and used in different ways by different living entities. But it gets that energy, which is called pranan, from the food, what is being consumed from here. So to that living force that gets converted from the food and it comes to us when we consume that food, that force is called pranan, and that is another form of Krishna. And here Malsyamurti is taken that form, and Satyavrata or Vaivasvadamanu is offering obeisances to that form of Krishna, which is called pranan. So here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vaivasvadamanu, or Satyavrata, who is Vaivasvadamanu now, is presenting Malsyamurti as a prana tattvam. Prana tattvam means this tattvam called pranan, which is present in everybody, every living being. Where there is life, there is pranan there. That prana tattvam is this Malsyamurti. That is how Vairasudha Manu has presented in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he worships Malsyamurti in that way in the Ramyaka Varsham. The Ramyaka Varsham. And he says, and that is why you see that all the qualities associated with pranan is spoken in that mantra. What are they? Pranaya, aujase, sahase, balaya. These three things. Ojasa, sahase, balaya, namaidi. Ojase, sahase, balaya, pranaya. Pranasurubi, that means pranan brings all these things. What does pranan do to everybody? When there is pranan inside, pranan gives the ojasa. Ojasa means that energy to function in this world. We are moving around everywhere, we are doing different things. All that's coming from pranan. It's the power of the pranan that is ojasa. And the balam. Balam means the strength. Balam means the strength. And strength and vigor. Strength and vigor. And pranaya, balaya, sahase, ojase. All these things, only when pranan is inside. When the pranan slowly started withdrawing from this body, that is when the body loses its beauty. The body becomes old. That shows that the pranan is slowly withdrawing from the body. That is what we say when we get old, whatever food you eat, it has no effect on the body. You may have the best tonic in the world, but body is getting still old. Isn't it? So this is all the indication of that. How pranan functions in the body, that is a different science altogether. That pranan is that force which comes from the food. When we consume food, not only from the food, the air we breathe, the water we drink, all that has an effect in keeping the pranan inside. When pranan becomes very weak, and one day we say pranan is gone, that means it's finished. The body is over. It's the life is over, isn't it? So pranan, so sattvaya prana aujase sahase balaya mahamalsyaya nama iti. All these are qualities associated with pranan. That's what is spoken here. So, and this pranan, prana shakti, that to pranan he is also, this pranayamam also is a part of that. So controlling that pranan inside the body. There is pancha pranan inside. And there is pancha upapranan also. That means only 10. That is what is keeping this body from the yoga side. If you look at it from the yoga platform, if you look at it, pranan, apanan, vyanan, udanan, all these are the pancha pranans inside, which have different functions, operating at different parts of the body. And it carries out the different activities inside, from the yoga perspective. Not from the modern science, from the yoga perspective. But, so, therefore, when that pranan withdraws, all these activities stops. It stops, different faculties get shut down. And then one day, the whole thing goes. So, this pranan is one force, that is how Vedam says. This is one force, which comes and occupies different bodies at some time, as and when necessary. And all these prana, combined effect of all the pranan in all the living entities, it is called a samashti. Samashti means in altogether, in some total, in total. And in total, that is what is called the power of pranan or the strength, what we call it as the strength of the mind. And that is called the word sahase. See that word sahase. Sattvaya prana aujase sahase balaya mahamalsyaya nama iti. Sahase means the cumulative effect of all the pranan combined in the whole creation in total, altogether. Cumulative effect of all the pranan in this. And this pranan and the mind, they are one and the same. They say that the subtle form of pranan is the mind. And the subtle form of the mind is gross form of the mind is the pranan. This is how in the Upanishads they talk about it. Pranan and mind is connected like that, so closely. Pranan and the mind is connected so closely. That is why we say, because pranan comes from the food, the type of pranan will have an influence on the mind as well. The type of mind of a person. So pranan, mind and the food, they are all connected to each other. So that's what he's saying here, that sahase means that the in samashti. Samashti means the cumulative effect of all the whole pranan in this creation, and that is what is shown there, sahase. Ojase. Ojase means prana aujase. Aujase means power of the senses. Senses, you have noticed, they have, it starts developing from the birth, the power of the senses. It peaks at some time and then it starts diminishing. All senses are like that, is it not? When we grow up, initially all the senses are not active. Little by little, all the senses of knowledge and senses of action builds up in us. From the little baby grows up, starts seeing things, hearing things, and then tasting things, smelling things. The sensual power keeps building up. It keeps growing, growing, growing. In the youth, it has its peak. And then it starts losing one after the other. All of them, one after the other. Sometimes the eyesight goes first, and then the ears go. And then you say, can't smell anything. Then finally you say, you can't taste anything. By now you are finished. Isn't it? That's how it is. It's like a cycle. Goes up, enjoy some time, and then finished, everything is over. That is called ojasa. So when the senses are enjoying, it's called ojasa. Malsimurti is saying here, Om Namo Bhagavate Mukhyatamaya Nama Sattvaya Pranaya Aujase Sahase Balaya Mahamalsyaya Idi. Balam means power of the body, bodily power, strength of the body. So strength of the body is the balaya, strength of the senses is the strength of the senses. Sahase means the mind, and strength of the mind, and then ojasa is the sense of the power of the senses. Body, mind and the senses, all three are covered there. Sattvaya, pranaya, aujase, sahase, balaya. Aujase, sahase, balaya, mahamalsyaya nama iti. Mahamalsyaya nama iti. So initially, it is all samashti sarubam. Samashti sarubam means the cumulative power all in a particular form is this malsyam. Malsyamurti is that. So, initially, first description was pranaya. Samashti prana. Samashti prana means that in the cumulative form of all the pranan energy. Pranan energy together. And that is why it is said, that is the most important one. That is why it is said, mukhyatamaya. Om namo bhagavate mukhyatamaya. Mukhyatamaya means that it is the most important one. And that is the samashti pranan. Then that samashti pranan, how it is, that is samashti pranan, and how that is present in the veshti. Veshti means individual. Samashti means cumulative, veshti means individual, locally. So that samashti pranan, which is present in locally, in individually in every person, is in the form of ojasa, sahasa, balam. Balam for the body, ojasa for the senses, and sahase for the mind. Pranan is one. It is from the pranan, the body gets the power, the mind gets the power, the senses get the power. And all these three powers acts in three different ways. The balase, balaya. Balaya means the strength of the body also. It develops, gets stronger one day, and it'll start going down and it goes away. Senses also, but the source of that energy is pranan. Pranan delivers that energy to the body. And similarly, the energy for the senses also. It keeps growing. At one sometime the youth, it gets very strong, the senses, and then it becomes weaker, and then that goes away. And similarly, ojase, sahase, balaya. That sahase means that mind also. You can see you are very determined and firm when you are young, and when you get older you said, let it go. You can't do anything about it anyway. We say like that. And then we say we have become wiser. How we have become wiser like this? Because we are helpless. Suppose we had the same ojasa, when we had the same sahasa, at that time we won't do that. But by now all the energy is finished. Then whatever happens in the world, Brexit or no Brexit, it doesn't matter. We leave it everything now to Krishna, let anything happen. This is how it is. This is our position here in this world, isn't it? We come here, we get some strength and power, and we play with it for some time, and then all the power and strength goes away, and then we also go. So everything is over. So here, samashti rupam. Samashti means the cumulative form of all the energy is pranan, which is present in everyone, which comes from the consumption of food. How we extract that energy, that transfer of energy from the food to every body, even though the food is different. Like the example they give there, that we get all the strength from the vegetables or grains and milk and products like that. The hog, which is drinking the filthy water from the sewer, it gets its strength from that. If we drink that, we get sick. But hog is getting its strength from that, from the filth, and eating all the rejects of the body. The hog is eating, and he gets stronger and looks good. So it is an unbelievable situation, isn't it? That we think that food is, energy is only in this one source. No, it's available in different forms. And the trees from the plants and creepers, they all have their own sources of energy supply in different forms. But that energy that comes ultimately is one, that is called pranan. But that pranan is in samashti form, present in everyone. And that pranan delivers what is required in the veshti form, that means in the individual units, what is required in the form of sahasa, balaya, ojase, for the body, mind and the senses. Individually it supplies the power, what is required for that. That's what it's saying here. And so, and it also comes, the power for the body, power for the mind, power for the senses. It also includes, when it says the power for the mind, it also includes the power of intelligence as well, is included in that. Because you'll always see with the mind and intelligence together spoken. So, first of all, you can see, it is spoken in the samashti form. That means, Om Namo Bhagavate Mukhya Tamaya Nama Satvaya Pranaya. That is a samashti form. Then Aujase Sahase Balaya, that is a veshti form. Maha Malsyaya Nama Iti. Malsya Murti's incarnation is spoken like that. And saying that, offers obeisances to Malsya Murti. Who is offering obeisances? This famous personality, King Satyavrata, who became Vaivasvata Manu later. That he says here, Andarbahischakila Lokapalagai Adrashtarubo Vijarasyudaswana Sa Ishwarastum Idam Vashenaya Amnayatha Darumayim Narastriyam. Andarbahischakila Lokapalagai Adrashtarubo Vijarasyadanyata Vijarasyuruswana Sa Ishwarastum Idam Vashenaya Amnayatha Darumayim Narastriyam. That that he says that Andarbahischakila Lokapalagai Adrashtarubo Vijarasyudaswana Akila Lokapalagai Andarbahischa Adrashtarubadam Uruswana Vijarasi. That he says that the presence of this pranan in this world is the representation of that is pranavam, om. All too subtle to understand. Till we have developed that purity inside, we won't understand what they are talking about. Malsamurti is saying here that Krishna is present in the form of pranan here, and that pranan is present in the sound om. Therefore he is called pranavam. The word pranavam is om. Om is that pranan who is present in this world. So it is a yoga shastram, the science of yoga. And that pranava shabdham is Krishna. So from all of us, the sound comes out or the vibration that happens within all of us is due to the presence of pranan inside. If pranan is not there, there won't be any sound will come from our body. It will not come. So here, fish, Malsimurti, is presented here as the prana swarupam. Krishna's prana swarupam is Malsimurti. So you can see here that if you close your ears both very well without allowing anything, and if you are able to focus on the heart inside, that then the sound of pranan you can hear from inside. Pranavadhvani, that one can hear. One has to completely shut the ears, and one is able to completely give attention to the heart, then you will see hear the sound of Om within the heart. This is the Yoga Shastram says, like that. So with this, with that pranam, pranam's sound inside, Om present inside, that is how Krishna is present within the heart, and he is manifesting there. So, therefore, pranamam, that is why people chant this name, this letter Om. For this reason, it is representing Krishna. It is representing Krishna. So, that prana spandanam, spandanam means this vibration inside, that is Omkaram, Om. That much, if you understand, that's what it is saying here. Andar bahischa agile logapalagai adrishta rupa vijarasyasvanam sa isharastam e idam vashe naya namna yatha dharumayim narastriyam. In a very simple verse, he has spoken like this, that he says here, that sa isharastam e idam vashe naya amna yatha dharumayim narastriyam. Just like Krishna, through this sound, vibration, or the letter Om, through which he controls everything. Like he says here, that Krishna is present in everyone's heart and outside. Inside he is present as the soul of everyone. And outside how Krishna is present, he gives reality to everything for what we see in this world. Inside, too subtle, but think about this. Andar bahishchagila yoga purushai, it says there, isn't it? Inside, he is present inside us, as that our very soul, he is present inside. Outside, when we look, we feel everything is real here, isn't it? Who is giving that reality to all these objects? That is Krishna. Otherwise, we cannot feel. It is only because of Krishna's presence in the world that we are seeing these things are existing. These people are existing. So the reality of any object is given by Krishna's presence there. Krishna's presence there. So that giving reality to something is Krishna. Krishna gives the reality to that. Otherwise, all these things will not exist in us. We won't see the existence of all, we won't experience the existence of all the objects in this world. So, therefore, inside all of us, he is present as the Atma, the Chaitanyam, or the living force, and externally, he gives reality to everything in this world. That means he joins everything in this world and he gives reality to us. But those who are maintaining this creation, they are called the Logabalas, Krishna's servants, who maintain the discipline of this world, even them, they are not able to realize this is what is happening. Even those who are maintaining this world, we are not the one who are maintaining this. We are coming and going. But those who are maintaining this world, which are called the Logabalas, even they are not aware of this, that Krishna is maintaining this. Krishna is maintaining this. So, this tattvam, what is present inside and what is present outside, it cannot be known by thinking about it. You won't know by thinking about it. So, but, because Krishna has kept everyone under his control in a very subtle level. He is controlling, that is Krishna's, that is what he is saying here. Yal Logapala Kilam Alsarajvara, again in the next verse he says, If you think that Indra and many other demigods, they are controlling this world, that is also not true. He is saying here, because Satyabrata was saying here, Yam logabala kilamal sarajvara hitva yadandu abhivrataksav ityacha padamna shegur dipadas chadushpada sari sravamsanu yatre drishyade yadatra drishyade. He says, then even the logabalas, who with their greatest effort, even they try hard, and they control our existence here. Lokapalas means that all the demigods who controls this, for example, rain, the heat, the air, the water, all things without which our existence is not possible here. So our existence is controlled by the demigods in different forms. Even they are not aware that Krishna is present outside, which gives reality to all these things. Even they are not aware. So, and he keeps all of us, human species, all other living entities, including these controllers, under his control. That's what he's saying here. Yam logabala kilam alsarajvara hitva yadando abhiprata sametya cha padam na shegur dibadas chatushpada sari sirvam sanu yatra drishyade. Then he says here, dolls, wooden dolls, which are operated by a female, which are in a female form or in a male form, that how a person from behind by pulling the string plays the dolls to play, isn't it? They place the, make the dolls to play. In the same way, all living entities here, whether it is male or female, it doesn't matter. All of them, Krishna is keeping them under his control. And according to their karma vasana inside, Krishna makes them to play in this world. But he controls them, everything. And if you ask the question, are the Indra and are the demigods not controlling the world? He's saying no. That is why you will see there, Yam logabala kilam alsarajvara hitva yadando abhivratak sametya cha padumna shegur dipadas chadushpada sari sravamstanu yadatra drishyade. That actually no demigods are able to do anything about it, because they are also under his control. We are also under his control, demigods are also under his control. But sometimes demigods also compete each other, saying that they are the controllers, each other. So even though they compete each other like that, due to that competition nature in them, in some instances, even though they all tried very hard, they couldn't protect this Mother Earth. So, in other words, even those living entities in this world, whether moving or non-moving, or any other living entity, they could not protect them from the calamities. Actually, the only protector is Krishna. And that is why he's saying like that is that Bhavan Yuganda Arnava Urmi Malini. That is how Satyavrata remembers fish incarnation. Because this verse is actually an introduction to what has happened to the during the time of fish incarnation. Malsimurti. Bhagavan Yuganda Arnava Urmi Malini Choni Imimashodi Imamoshadi Virudham Nidhim Maya Sahoyukramadeja Ojasa Tasmai Jagalpana Ganalpanenama Iti. He says there that I realize this when Satyavrata is saying there, or Vaivasudha Manu is saying this, that Malsyamurti showed this to me, that he is the controller. Not Indra, not Chandra or Varuna or anybody. None of them are controlling this. Actual controller is Malsyamurti, he says there. And when devastation happened, none of them could save this world, says Malsyamurti there. So that is why it is important that actual protector of everything is Malsyamurti. That means, as I mentioned before, that in all these 9 different versions, like we saw, Ilavrata Varsham, then Bhadrasya Varsham, then Hari Varsham, Kedumala Varsham, now the Ramika Varsham, all these places, what is actually happening is that Krishna's presence there in different forms is worshipped by their devotees and their prayers to them. So here, because Krishna is present as Malsimurti, his Malsimurti's devotee, which is that King Satyavrata, who came as later on as Vaivasudha Manu, he is offering his prayers according to his understanding. He is saying like this, that Bhavan Yugandharnamo Urmi Malini, that even though different demigods are competing each other, saying that they are actually protecting and maintaining this creation, in reality they don't. Actually it is done by Malsimurti. Malsimurti is doing this, and because he showed this when he was put into this situation, when Satyavrata was to have to face that. At that time, he says, there, and in that devastation happened at the time of Malsimurti, and in the boat, they put down all the herbs and medicines and everything, their roots, and in that water, they were traveling for days together. It was at that time, Malsimurti instructed King Satyavrata about the knowledge of the self. From that, so from his position, he sees Malsimurti as the absolute truth. And it is, that's why it is spoken like that. We'll continue after a few minutes. Chedo darpanam arjanam bhavamahadavakti nirvavanam shreyakaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam dvambudivardhanam pradipadapurnamrudaswadanam sarvatnasubanam varam vijayade Shri Krishna Sankirtanam Namnama Gari Bahudanija Sarva Shakti Tatrapidani Midas Maranena Kalam Edadrishi Tamakrava Bhagavan Mamabi Durdeva Midrishami Hajanina Nuragaham Tranara Vishuni Jena Taravaravi Sahishuna Amani Nama Nadena Kirtani Yasadahari Madhanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavidamba Jagadisha Tamaye Ma janmani janmani shari bhavadad bhakti rahai dugitvai Nandadanu jagingaram patidamam shame bhavangudau Kribayatava padapanga jastidaduli sadrasham vichindaya Nainam galadashudharaya vadanam gadgadarudhaya gira Pulakair nijidam tadava poktava nama grahane bhavishyati Gaidam nimeshena chakshusha pravishaidam shunyaidam jagal sarvam govinda virahe name ashrishyava padaradam pinashtumam adarshanam armahadam karyotuva yathatadava vidathadulam malprananatha sunayevana bharam sarvatra govinda nama sangirtanam govinda govinda. So Malsimurti worshipped in the Ramyaga Varsham by Satyavrata, who was a king before, later became Vaivasudha Manu. His prayers is what we have discussed. Then where he says there, Prana Swarupam, Krishna's presence in this world is Pranan. That is the form of Malsimurti, as Malsimurti instructed Satyavrata king, and accordingly these prayers also. Then the next one is Hiranmaya Varsham. What is speciality about Hiranmaya Varsham? In Hiranmaya Varsham, Krishna is present as Kurma Murti, the tortoise form of incarnation. And his mantra, that is what, Hiranmaye vi Bhagavan nivasadi kurma tanum vibhrani, vibhrana tasya dal priyadamam tan anumaryama saha varshaburishai, pitrgana adibadi ubhadavadi mantramimam chanu japadi. And what is the mantram that is used by Aryamav? Aryamav, Aryama is the devotee there. He worships them, Kurma Murti. Om Namo Bhagavate Agubaraya Sarvasatta Guna Visheshanaya Nova Lakshidastanaya Namo Varshmane Namo Bhumne Namo Namo Vastanaya Namaste. That is the Kurma Rupi, Kurma form of Krishna. Kurma Murti form of Krishna. To him offer him offering obeisances. That Kurma Murti, what is the speciality? When the milk ocean was churned, Kurma Murti came from the bottom and lifted that. And Nobody could see Kurmamurti, but Kurmam lifted the hill, isn't it? So that form, that is Kurmamurti's mantra, Aryama is the devotee there in Hiranmaya Varsham. Then the next one is after that is Kurmarupam, the prayers are spoken there in that Hiranmaya Varsham, Kurmamurti. Hiranmaya Varsham, Kurmamurti. Then after that, Uttara Guru Varsham. That means if you look at this verse number, Uttareshuja Kurushu, verse 34. Uttareshuja Kurushu, Bhagavan Yajna Purusha, Krita Varaharu Bhamaste, Tamtu Devi, Aisha Abhu Usaha, Kurubhi, Askalida Bhakti Yogena Upadhavadi, Imamcha Paramam Upanishadamo Vatayadi. That Uttara Guru Varsham, there Krishna is present as Varahamurti. Varahamurti and it is there who is worshipping Varahamurti, Bhumi Devi, Mother Earth. She is worshipping Lord Bo in the Uttara Guru Varsham. That's what it's saying there. Om Namo Bhagavate Mantra Tattva Lingaya Yajnakratave Mahadhvara Avayavaya Mahapurushaya Nama Karma Shuklaye Triyugaya Namaste. There Varahamurti is present. Krishna is present there as Varahamurti. And Bhumi Devi is worshipping there. And this is the mantra for Varahamurti. This is the mantra for Varahamurti. Which one? Om Namo Bhagavate Mantra Tattva Lingaya Yajnakratave Mahadhvara Avayavaya Mahapurushaya Nama Karma Shuklaye Triyugaya Namaste. You will see there one thing that Varahamurti offering obeisances. What is Varahamurti's speciality? The speciality of Varahamurti is called Yajna Varaham. Yajna Varaham means Karma Yogam. Yajna means Karma Yogam. Yajna Varaham is Karma Yogam. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, what you find in the first 6 chapters is all about karmam and karma yogam. Similarly, in the Srimad Bhagavatam also, you will see the beginning of Bhagavatam itself, 3rd canto, is Varahamurti, karmam, control of the karmam. So karmam's importance to the significance of karmam and controlling the karmam is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the beginning itself. If the karma is not right, whatever you do in this world will have very little benefit from that. Because karma is not clear first. Karma is the first hurdle to cross in spiritual life. The first hurdle in spiritual life is to cross this hurdle of karma. Karma, how? That means you have to understand the Shastram, what Shastram is saying about karma. Karma creates all the, karma creates, generate the body again, karma creates the karma vasana. Fresh bodies, all this. So first we have to stop that train of karma. Unless that train stops, all other sadhana, upasana, everything will not have any benefit. Because one side your karma is increasing, on the other side you are doing the sadhana as well. So this is why it is spoken. Like in the Bhagavad Gita, first 6 chapters, Krishna has decided to speak about karma more than anything else. About karma he has spoken, is it not? Why? Because unless that train stops, karmam train stops, other jnanam and bhakti cannot be even discussed. This is why. And same thing in the Srimad Bhagavatam also. As soon as Bhagavatam began in the 3rd canto, Varahamurti comes in first. Even though Varaham is not the first incarnation, first spoken about is Varahamurti. Why? Karmam is the hurdle. The hurdle is karmam. Because karmam is yajna varaham. Yajnam in the Vedam is representing karmam. Karma yogam is yajna varaham. In them days, performing sacrifices is considered to be the karma yogam. Karma yogam. So, that is why it is spoken like that. So, here also you can see Varahamurti. So, 35. Om Namo Bhagavate Uttara Guru Varsham. It is in Uttara Guru. Krishna is present there, is in the Varaha form. And there Bhumi Devi is worshipping her, worshipping Varaham. And this is the mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Mantra Tattva Lingaya Yajna Kratave Mahadhvaravayavaya Mahapurushaya Nama Karma Shuklaya Triyugaya Namaste. Namaste. Why did it say Triyugaya? Triyugaya means Trayada Yugam, Dwabara Yugam, Kali Yugam. Because in Satyugam there is no Yajnam. That is the reason. Triyugaya. Only in the Triyugaya he is present there. So therefore, Triyugam it is spoken there. Mahadvara avayavaya mahapurushaya nama karma shuklaye Triyugaya namaste. Triyugam means only in the Tredayugam, Dwavarayugam and Kaliyugam there is sacrifice. Yajnam. Because in Satyugam there was no need for sacrifice. They were of a different life. So, that is why Triyugaya Namaste. Anyway, that is why. Then after that, the prayers are there. We will leave that. And then we will come to the next chapter, 19th chapter, Kim Purusha Varsham. In Kim Purusha Varsham, there is two more left. Kim Purusha Varsham and Bharata Varsham. In Kim Purusha Varsham, in which form Krishna is worshipped, Kimpurusham is worshipped as Ramachandra. And the devotee there is Anjaneya, Hanuman. Is the devotee there and worshipped in the Ramachandra's form. So, Kimpurusham, Sri Shagavacham, Kimpurushavarshe Bhagavandam, Adipurusham, Lashmana Agrajam, Sidhabhi Ramam Ramam, Tacharana Sannigrashabhirada Parama Bhagavado Hanuman, Saha Kimpurushai Avirada Bhakti Upaste. Kimvarshapurushe Bhagavandam Adipurusham Lakshmanagrajam Sidhabhiramam Ramam Tacharana Sannigrashabhirada Paramabhagavadam Hanuman Saha Kimpurushai Avirada Bhakti Upaste. He is saying here that there Kimpurushavarsham Ramachandra is the deity and the devotee is worshipping Ramachandra is Anjaneya Swami there. Then what's the mantra Anjaneya Swami's mantra? Om Namo Bhagavate. Verse 3. Om Namo Bhagavate. Uttama Shlokaya. Nama Arya Lakshana Shila Vradaya. Nama Ubashikshita Almane. Upasita Lokaya Nama. Sadhu Vada Nikashaya Namo. Brahmanya Devaya. Mahapurushaya. Maharajaya Nama Iti. Then the same thing is saying in the absolute terms. Yadad Vishuddha Anubhavamatramegam. Sutejasa dvasta guna vyavastam pratyak prashandam sudiyo avalambhanam anamarubam niraham prabadhyem. Those two verses, 19.3 and 19.4. So, who is Ramachandra? What is his form? That is what is spoken there first. Just like Sachidananda and Krishna. Similarly, Ramachandra's form is also the same thing. Pure consciousness. Pure consciousness. What is Krishna's form? Pure consciousness. That is Krishna's form. Same thing, that experience inside, Bodha, Shuddha, Bodha, Chaitanyam, living force, that is Ramachandra's form. Why is it said there? You can see there, Yatat Vishuddhanubhava Matramegam. Vishuddham means, Vishuddhanubhava Matramegam. Why Vishuddham? Vishuddham means that inside there is no ragadvesham. No lust and anger, kamam, krotham, madam, malsaram, lobham, moham, all these things, these are all different impurities. Those impurities are none of them present inside in Ramachandra, in consciousness, in other words. So, Krishna, who is present without any of those impurities, that is Ramachandra's form. That is Ramachandra's form. That is why it is said Vishuddham, the word Vishuddham. Prashandam. Why is it said Prashandam? Pratyak Prashandam Sudhiyoba Lambhanam Anamarupam Niraham Prabhadye. Prashandam means that Sudejasa, that means by his own potency, Gunam, as I said, Dvasta Gunam Vyavastam. What does that mean? It means that we have three modes of material nature. Sattugunam, Rajagunam, Tamogunam. What is the effect of that in us? Vacant state, dream state and the deep sleep. Due to the presence of the three modes of material nature, Sattugunam, Rajagunam, Tamogunam, it impacts on us in these three states, isn't it? Vacant state, dream state and the deep sleep. Sattugunam creates a vacant state, Rajagunam creates the dream state and Tamogunam creates a deep sleep in us. So, but in one in whom Swarupa Jnanam, the knowledge of the self is strong, where the modes of nature is not present, or that knowledge inside is so intense inside that this three states even cannot enter into him. Three states cannot enter into him. And he has gone beyond the three states. That is Ramachandra. Ramachandra Tattvam, if you understand, that's how we understand. It is not Ramachandra's that form we are talking about. Who is Ramachandra? When we talk about Krishna, what do we say? Sandra Ananda Avabhoda Rupam. Shuddha Nitya Mukta Shuddha Swarupam. Isn't it? That is Krishna. Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. Eternal, pure, fully conscious, always liberated. Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. That is Krishna. Sandra Ananda Avabhoda Almagam. Every time, first thing, when we talk about any form, the tatvam should be spoken and then understand the form. So Ramachandra also is spoken as one who by his own knowledge of the self, of realization inside, always keeps the three modes of nature away from him. Sleep, waken state, dream state, deep sleep, these things cannot enter into him. So due to the Jnana Tejasa means that self-realization is so strong inside, Ramachandra is beyond all that, and none of these emotions in us will influence him. Like kamam, krotham, lobham, moham, madam, malsaryam, or in other words, he is pure consciousness. Pure consciousness. And that is why it is mentioned there, you can see the word pratyak. Pratyak prashandam. Sudhiyova lambhanam. Anama rupam. Niraham prabhadye. Then, therefore he said that gunavikaram. Gunavikaram means due to the sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, we have this vikaram inside. Vikaram means emotions that comes in us. Anger, greed, lust, desires. These are all different vikarams that happens inside us. They are not happening there. Why? Because of that state inside. Realization state inside. So, and anubhava matram, shuddha bodham, pratyak. Pratyak prashandam sudhiyobalambhanam. Sudhiyobalambhanam. That he says here that karta bhokta, that is not there, present in that state. In Ramachandra, that is not present in him. Which one? First of all, it is sotejasa dusta guna vyavastam. Because the three modes of material nature has no entry inside, in him. And due to that, pratyak prashandam, there is always shandi inside. In pratyak. Pratyak prashandam. Sudhiyova lambhanam anama rupam niraham pravadye. Also due to that, the all kinds of activities are going on, but karta and bhokta is not there. I am the doer and I am the enjoyer is not. This is all present in all of us, is it not? It's not present in Krishna. It's not present in Ramachandra. These things. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. And all the emotions that builds up inside due to the influence of the three modes of nature, they are not present in them. So this is what makes a difference between our state and Krishna's, Ramachandra's state. So, but even though he is not the doer or the enjoyer, like we discussed, Lord Shiva said in the Lavrata Varsham, he is the one due to whose presence we are all experiencing everything in this world. As Antaryami is present inside, and that is Krishna. Always that difference is spoken between us and Krishna or Ramachandra. Ramachandra is that force like Krishna, is that force what is operating within all of us as pure consciousness, Antaryami present inside, due to whose presence we are able to interact with this world, fulfill our desires, and also able to register the existence of the world inside. Senses are interacting and it is experienced in our mind. All that is happening due to presence of Antaryami inside. And that's what he's saying here. Anubhava matram. Pratyak prashantam sudhiyoba lambhanam. So, that's why it's saying here. You see, if you look at the words carefully, you will see that each word is very, very carefully selected. Yatvad vishuddham. First is vishuddham. What else? അനുഭവ മാത്രം, അനുഭവം ഓൺലി, ഓൺലി ഇൻ എക്സ്പീരിയൻസ് ലെവൽ. അനുഭവ മാത്രം ഏകം, ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് അനുഭവ മാത്രം മീൻസ് ദാറ്റ് ഡ്യൂ ടു ഹിസ് പ്രസൻസ് വി ആർ ഏബിൾ ടു എക്സ്പീരിയൻസ് ദ വേൾഡ്. ഹി ഈസ് എ വിറ്റ്നസ്, ഹി ഈസ് നോട്ട് എക്സ്പീരിയൻസിങ്. ബട്ട് ഇഫ് ഹി ഈസ് നോട്ട് പ്രസന്റ് ദയർ, വി കനോട്ട് എക്സ്പീരിയൻസ്. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദ ഡിഫറൻസ്. അനുഭവ മാത്രം മീൻസ് ദാറ്റ് അനുഭവ മാത്രമേകം. ദെൻ സോ തേജസ ദ്വസ്തഗുണം വ്യവസ്ഥം, ഡ്യൂ ടു ഹിസ് തേജസ്, ഡ്യൂ ടു ഹിസ് പൊട്ടൻസി, ഹി ഈസ് ഏബിൾ ടു കീപ് ദ ത്രീ മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് നേച്ചർ അവേ ഫ്രം ഹിം. ഇറ്റ് കനോട്ട് എന്റർ ഇൻ ടു ഹിം. ദാറ്റ്സ് വാട്ട് ഇറ്റ് മീൻസ്. സോ യത്തത് വിശുദ്ധ അനുഭവ മാത്രമേകം സോ തേജസ ദ്വസ്തഗുണം വ്യവസ്ഥം. ദെൻ പ്രത്യക് പ്രശാന്തം സുതിയോപലംഭനം, ദാറ്റ് പ്യുവർ കോൺഷ്യസ്നസ് ഈസ് രാമചന്ദ്ര. We are saying two different forms, Krishna, Ramachandra and all, we are falling on the forms the difference. But Vastu is the same. Vastu is the same. There is no difference between Ramachandra and Krishna, Shiva, all Vastu is the same. But in, when they manifest in a form, we are giving them different identities by calling them different names, right? So, Anamarupam. Anamarupam says here. Pratyak Prashant, Sudhiyobalambanam, Anamarupam. Anamarupa means that when something you are only talking about Bhautaswarupam, pure consciousness, that Anamarupa means all the drishyam, what you see here is Namarupam. Namarupam, isn't it? Consciousness is Anamarupam. It has no name, it has no form. That's why it's called Anamarupam. Everything what we see here is Namarupam. Different people, their names, their forms. Namarupam. But the Vastu, Ramachandra, is Pratyak Prashantam Sudhiyobalambhanam Anamarupam. He has no Namarupam there. So, whatever we see here is all Namarupam. Is it not? Namarupam is what we see here. Different names, different forms. That's why it's called Namarupam. But the one who is seeing everything, the Drashta, the seer, he is beyond this Namarupam. Is beyond this Namarupam. That is pure consciousness. Shuddha Bodham it is. Shuddha Bodham. Consciousness, in other words. They are, that's above Namarupam. Namarupam is the byproduct of the Shuddha Bodham experiencing the world. So Namarupam is a secondary thing. Primary thing is Shuddha Bodham. Pure consciousness. When, remember we talked about all this before, that when Brahman interacts with Maya, Ishvara is born. When Brahman interacts with Maya, at the same time not affected by the qualities of Maya, it is called Ishvara, the tattva behind that. Similarly, when Brahman interacts with Maya, but it creates modes of nature and it creates ahankaram inside, kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam, everything, then it's called a jiva. Vastu is only one, bodham, pure consciousness. So according to his interaction with the material nature, you will see all these differences. So shuddha bodham, pure consciousness, that is Krishna's form or Ramachandra's form. Vishuddha anubhavam, pratyak prashantam sudhiyobalambhanam. But jiva also is the same nature. But what is the difference? Jiva is suffering. Jiva is suffering here. Because jiva experiences material world, material experiences. So what is the difference between jiva and Ramachandra then? What is the difference? That's what it says here. Niraham. See that word? Niraham. In Bhagavadam, you will find not one word is spoken without any purpose. Any words, if you take anywhere, you will find, if anything is put in there, it will have a definite thought behind it, a serious issue behind it. Otherwise, that word will not be used. Sri Shukha Brahmarshi's whole language is like that. So, for example, you can hear, jiva is believing that he identifies with the body. That means ahankaram. Ahankaram is present there, isn't it? So, and also jiva identifies with the body and because of that attachment to the body. And attach me and mine comes for the jiva. That me and mine doesn't exist in Ramachandra. Me and mine doesn't exist in Krishna. So whole of Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look from beginning to end, you will find it's all a battle against this Ahanda and Mamata. Me and mine. You are battling against that. To prove to us that the difference between Krishna and us is this, or Ramachandra and us is this, that this Aham Mameti, me and mine, does not exist there. Which in another form is spoken as Kartrutvam and Bhoktrutvam. It's the same thing. One and the same thing. At different times in different terminology. That's all. So Kartrutvam, Bhoktrutvam, or Ahamda and Mamata, or me and mine, does not exist in that Bodham, in pure consciousness. Right. Whereas Jiva has got that. So, so why is that Krishna doesn't have that? Because of knowledge. The knowledge is there inside. Knowledge is so strong inside, due to the power of that knowledge, there is no identification with the body, or there is no identification with the bodily extensions. Whereas in us, due to ignorance, we have all the identification with the body and all the identification with the bodily extensions. This is the difference between Krishna and Ramachandra and us. So that, an absence of that ego, ahangaram inside. This ahangaram is coming from this. Ahanda and mamata is ahangaram. Ahangaram, isn't it? Ahanda, mamata, when it's not there, this big difference is Ramachandra Swarupam. Krishna, who is present as Ramachandra, and ordinary jivas like us, this is the difference. Because it is spoken about Krishna in the Kim Purusha Varsham, it is spoken as Ramachandra and Anjaneya here. Ramachandra and Anjaneya here. Just like in the other Varsham, other forms were spoken with their devotees. Like in the last one we saw Mahamalsimurti. Malsimurti was worshipped by Vaivasvada Manu or Satyavrata king. Or the same way, Anjaneya Swami is worshipping Ramachandra in the same way here. The principle doesn't change. It remains the same throughout. Sankrishnamurti and Lord Shiva. The same principle applies there. And the same principle applies when Prahlada is worshipping Narasimham also. There, Narasimham will be spoken in the same way. As pure consciousness present in everyone. Brahmam. So, Brahmam is taking different forms in all these different varshams, in different forms, and different devotees are worshipping him, but the prayers, if you look, they are more or less the same prayers. There are little bit differences in the terminological way it's spoken, but in reality it is this, aham ameti, me and mine, does not exist in the truth. In us, it exists. It exists. So, that's what it is. So, here, so we mentioned this before also. When Brahmam associates with Maya, Maya, we spoke about two sides, Vidya Maya and Avidya Maya. Because it is associating the Vidya side of the Maya, Vidya Maya, Upadhi of Ishvara is knowledge. Ishvara's Upadhi is knowledge. Ishvara's Upadhi is knowledge. Jiva's Upadhi is ignorance, avidya. Maya has got two aspects. If Maya is not there, Ishvara is not there. If Maya is not there, Jiva is also not there. Because Maya is there, therefore Ishvara is there, Jiva is there. That's the theory behind that. So here you can see, Maya has got these two sides, Vidya Maya and Avidya Maya. We talked about this before. Vidya Maya is the one that takes us away from the material cycle of birth and death, or knowledge, self-realization. That is Vidya Maya. That is only called Vidya. Everything else which is binding us to this world is Avidya. Avidya Maya. School education, college education, everything is Avidya Maya. From the, because it's binding us to this world. The only knowledge that takes us away, that releases us from this material existence, is called Vidya Maya. That's only Vidya Maya. Everything else is Avidya Maya. So Jiva's Upadhi is Avidya Maya. Ishvara's Upadhi is Vidya Maya. Vidya Maya. Vidya Avidya. This is what makes a difference between Jiva and the Ishvara. So Sri Ram, and then Anjaneya Swami says here that Om Namo Bhagavate Uttama Shlokaya Nama Arya Lakshana Shila Pradaya Nama Upashikshitalpine Upasita Lokaya Nama Sadhu Adam Nikashaya Namo Brahmanya Devaya Mahapurushaya Maharajaya Nama Iti. Nama Iti. That is how that prayers goes there. That then he says there, Vishuddha Surubam, Vishuddha Anubhava Matram, I take the shelter. Then the question is coming there, when we read Ramayanam, we are not feeling like this. Ramachandra had a lot of emotions, isn't it? He was crying when Sita Devi was gone. But here we are saying all these things, isn't it? So when Sita left, Ramachandra cried, isn't it? And he got upset with Ravana, all these things. So how is that? You may ask that question, isn't it? To answer that is that word. What's that? Sudiyobalambhanam. See that word? Sudiyobalambhanam. Pratyak prashandam sudiyobalambhanam. Sudiyobalambhanam means only devotees like Anjaneya or Hanuman can understand Rama Tattvam, Ramchandra's Tattvam. Or those who have chanted Ramchandra's name, they will understand Ramchandra's Tattvam. Ramchandra is never affected by anything, any of these things. But what happened was, he came in the human form. He came here to teach us. So what happens? He has to, in the ninth canto you will find this, Shuka Brahmarshi evaluating Ramachandra. He says to us that if God comes here in a human form, he has to live with the way we are living here. He has to accept all this thing. Stri Sanginam Gatimidi Pradhayam Chachara. If you get attached to women, even if it is Ramachandra, you will suffer. A strong warning there. And Shuka Brahmarshi says it applies to Ramachandra also. But you have to connect that with the fifth canto to understand that. Why? Because in the fifth canto it's very clearly spoken, Martyavatarasyaha Martya Shikshanam. Only to teach the human species he has taken that human form. But in Ramachandra Tattvam, all these things doesn't exist. But when he takes a human form and comes here to teach us a lesson, he has to cry, because to show to us this is what will happen to us. That is why. That subtle thing we have to keep in mind. When we read Bhagavatam, you should not think that, oh, anybody will ask this question. Sita Devi left, Ravana stole her, and Ramachandra crying. Ramachandra got upset with Ravana. And we are saying this is Ramachandra Tattvam. What is that? Yetat Vishuddhaina Bhavamatram Egam Sudejasa Dvastugunam Vyavastam Pratyek Prashantam Sudhiyovalambhanam Anamarubam Niraham Pravadye. If you read this verse, it is Ramachandra's presentation, proper Ramachandra, what Ramachandra means, right? And then in action, Ramachandra is totally different. Why that difference? Difference is this. Martyavadarasiha Martya Shikshanam. He has taken Martyavadaram. He came as human form to teach us a lesson. So he has to act like us in this world. So therefore, all that distress for Ramachandra. That is the reason behind that. And Shuka Brahmarshi confirms that. Sri Sanginam Gadimiti Pradhayam Chachara. If you become Sri Sangi, you pay for it like this. That strong message is spoken like that. So when we read Bhagavatam, these kind of issues will come. At some places we will think about why Ramachandra has to suffer like this. Why Ramachandra got upset? Ramachandra is not upset with Ravana. In his pure consciousness, who is present in Ravana is also Ramachandra. Who else is there? But when he takes the human form, when there is ragadvesham, when there is avidya inside, then all the activities also are tainted with that avidya, tainted with ragadvesham in there. After that, and this is only understood by the those who know the Ramatattvam very well. That is why you see the next verse itself, this is confirmed. മർത്യാവതാരസ്തിഹമർത്യശിക്ഷണം രക്ഷോപധായൈവന കേവലം വിഭോ കുതോന്യതസ്യാദ്രമതസ്വമാത്മന സീതാകൃതാനി വ്യസനാൻ ഈശ്വരസ്യ. He is Ishwara and he was crying. Ishwara is crying. If Ishwara start crying, what's our hope? Then, is it not? So that's what it's saying here. That Martyavadarastiha Martyashikshanam, that this appearance as Ramachandra is only to teach us. Only for that purpose that form he has taken. Martyavadarastiha Martyashikshanam, to teach us, he has come in that form. Right? Rekshovadhayevana kevalam vibho. That in order to teach us this, that this avataram, this incarnation, and like a manushanatyam, manushanatyam, like human form, right? And you will see this in the Bhagavadam also, Krishna crying sometimes. when the most funny situation was, when Satyabhama's father was killed, Satyabhama goes there to, Krishna was in Hastinapur that time. Father was killed. Here, Satrajit was killed. So, Satyabhama, being a Kshatriya nature, wanted to have a revenge for those who had killed father. So, she took the chariot herself and drove the chariot all the way to Hastinapur. Got there. And Krishna sensed the situation. So, as soon as Satyabhama came up with the news about the death of Satrajit, Krishna started feeling terribly depressed. And he says to Balaram, Balaram, you also cry. If you don't cry. Krishna says this to Balaram, to cry. And Balaram also started crying to show the condolences. Otherwise, Satyabhama won't be happy. So to please Satyabhama, Krishna has to do that. Martyavadara seha martyashikshanam. To teach us that this is how the world is. That you have to cry. Even if you are not sorry, you have to cry. Even if you are not feeling it, you have to cry to show to the world that you are feeling that. So that is the same thing. Martyavadarasiha martyashikshanam. Rekshovadhayevana kevalam vibho. Kuto anyadasya dramadasya malpana sidakradani vesanani isharasya. Rekshovadhayevana. Not for killing the demons alone, Krishna accepted, Ramachandra accepted that form. Then, anyadasya dramada almana isharasya sidakradani vesanani kutasyal. One who is situated in the platform of the soul, Ramachandra. For him, how is he going to be affected by Sita Devi getting stolen by Ramachandra? How will it affect him? Because if he is crying because of that, that is not a symptom of self-realization, is it? A personality like Ramachandra, who is always situated in the platform of the soul, how can he be affected by Sita Devi being stolen by Ramachandra? Nobody can steal Sita. Because Ramachandra knows what is Sita Devi. Sita Devi's tattvam is known to Ramachandra. Nobody else. Better than Ramachandra himself. That is why it's saying here that one who is totally see the words. Kudu anyadasya dramadasya almana. So almana. He is situated in his own self so strongly. Sita kridani vesanani ishwarasya. How can he feel misery because of that? Sita kridani vesana ish. How will he feel that due to the separation from Sita Devi, the distress will, such a thing will come to him? It can never happen. That's what it's saying here. So therefore, all what he was doing was, is only a drama. That's the way you to understand that. Sita kridani vesanani ishwarasya. Who is asking this? Shukha Brahma, she is saying this. So, Shukha Brahmarshi, when he spoke about Ramachandra, Sri Sanginam Gatimadi Pradayam Shachara, he is saying that with this in the background, that we must know. Otherwise, we will think that we will get misunderstand things. Martya avadarastuha martya shikshanam reksho avadhayayivana kevalam vibho kudonyadasya aldramadaswama alpana sida kridani vesanal ishwarasya. How can he be depressed? Because Sita Devi has been stolen. One who is situated in the platform of the soul, he is not looking at every individual body and crying about it. He cannot. Because they are not in the bodily identity, first of all. They are not thinking, Sita Devi is that body, or Ravana is that body. What in their realization, only one thing exists here, Atma, nothing else. When they are in that platform, Ravana picking up Sitadevi from here is not going to cause any distress there, because they know very well who Sitadevi is, who Ravana is. All this known to them in their realization. Because there is no attachment, therefore there cannot be any distress for Ramachandra. Again stressing that point in the next verse. Navaisa Alma Almavadam Sukhurtama Saktastrilokyam Bhagavan Vasudeva Nastrigradam Kashmalam Ashnuvidam Na Lakshmanam Chabi Vihadumarhadi. He's saying here that Almavadam Alma Sukhurtaja Bhagavan Sa Vasudeva Navai Trilokyam Kwabi Saktaha. Ramachandra, who is the very soul of everyone, who is a friend of everyone, who is a supreme controller, that he cannot be attached to anything in this world, not even to Sita Devi. Why? Tasmal, Srikranam Kashmalam na Ashnavida, Lashmanam Viharam Chabi na Rahati. Therefore, that is why, due to the separation from Sita Devi, Ramachandra is not going to get affected by that. That's the strength of the realization inside, is it not? Similarly, at the end of Ramayanam, when Lakshmana had to be abandoned, which was the most, one of the worst thing, when Lakshmana took Sita Devi and the Lavan Kusha into Valmiki's ashram and left them there and came back, and then Lakshmana was also told to leave. And Shukha Brahmashi is asking here that, that does that cause any problem for him? No. Even that doesn't cause any problem for him. Therefore, also, it's saying to us that these things were acted in that way. Ramachandra had to do these acts in this way. For what reason? One thing, first one, see the relationship with Sita Devi to show to the world that if you develop attachment, kama asakti, relationship with opposite sex, if you develop strongly, it will create problem. Then secondly, Lakshmana was given up due to what? Due to dharma. Dharma asakti, isn't it? That's why Lakshmana was sent away. So if any asakti, whether it is kamam or dharmam, if it happens, asakti develops there. Asakti means excessive attachment. If it develops, you have to suffer. And to teach that to the human species, these two pastimes have shown in the Ramayanam. And then it says here, Savai Almal Mavadam Sukhurtama Saktastrilokyam Bhagavan Vasudeva Nastrigradam Kashmalam Ashnuvidam Nalakshmanam Javi Vihadu Marhadim. So ultimately he says that Krishna alone, the Supreme Lord alone is to be worshipped. Means here it is Ramachandra, in other words, to be worshipped, not birth or what. Family you were born. Na janmanunam bhagavado mahadona saubhagam na vang na buddhir na agudisto ashahedu ter yudhu srishtana bino vanaugasam chakara sakhyevada lakshmana grajam. Nothing pleases Krishna or Ramachandra for that matter. Either birth or your beauty or your ability or your intelligence. None of them. Yad lakshmana grajada yudhu srishtana bino vanaugasa sakhye chakara kila. Because here Sri Shukha Brahmarshi is saying there, Vanaras who lived in the forest, Ramachandra picked them up as his associates, is it not? So, why did he do that? Because those Vanaras community, there was Hanuman, and later on Angada, Jambavan, and so many others who were all devotees. Therefore, Ramachandra decided to take them on his in this army. He accepted them as his devotees. So that is why he says there. And with that it goes. And that is the Ramachandra's tattvam. So those verses are important. Particularly this verse. Martyavadarasiham Artyashikshanam. All the time we have to remember that. Martyavadarasiham Artyashikshanam. Everything, whatever Ramachandra has performed in his pastimes in Ramayanam, is all with this intention to teach the human. That is why we say, first one should study Ramayanam. For this reason. Ramayanam is how to live in this world. Dharmam is taught in the Ramayanam, not Mahabharatam. Dharmam is taught through Ramayanam. So, that the proper way to live in this world. Principles of, because Ramachandra was the ideal personality who taught us that principles. Right. Then after that, the last one, Bharatavarsham. What happens in the ഭാരതവർഷം. ഭാരതീപി വർഷേ ഭഗവാൻ നരനാരായണാഖ്യം ആകൽപ്പാന്തമുപജൻ ധർമ്മജ്ഞാന വൈരാഗ്യ ഐശ്വര്യ ഉപശമ പരമാത്മോപലംഭനം അനുഗ്രഹമായ ആത്മവദാനുമനുഗംബയാത തപോവ്യക്ത ഗതിശരഥി. വേഴ്സ് 9 ഇൻ ദി 19th ചാപ്റ്റർ, ദ ലാസ്റ്റ് വൺ. വാട്ട് ഈസ് ഭാരതവർഷം സ്പെഷ്യാലിറ്റി? ഓൾ അതർ വർഷംസ് ഹാവ് സ്പോക്കൺ. ഭാരതവർഷം സ്പെഷ്യാലിറ്റി ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് ദേർ കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് വർഷിപ്ഡ് ആസ് നരനാരായണ സ്വരൂപം ഇൻ ബദ്രിനാഥ്. ദാറ്റ് ഫോം ഈസ് ഗിവൺ ഫോർ ഭാരതവർഷം. നരനാരായണ സ്വരൂപം വർഷിപ്പ് ഇൻ ദി ബദ്രിനാഥ് ഈസ് ദി ഫോം ഫോർ ഭാരതവർഷം. ഭാരതവർഷം ദയർ ഹൂ ഇസ് ദ ഡിവോട്ടി? ശ്രീ നാരദ മഹർഷി. നാരദ മഹർഷി ഈസ് ദി ഡിവോട്ടി ആൻഡ് നരനാരായണ മൂർത്തി ഈസ് ദി പ്രിഡോമിനേറ്റിംഗ് ഡെയ്റ്റി ഫോർ ഭാരതവർഷം. സോ ദർ ഫോർ ഭാരതവർഷം ഷുഡ് ബി ഡിവോട്ടഡ് ടു നരനാരായണ മഹർഷി ആൻഡ് അവർ ടീച്ചർ ഓർ ഓൾ ദോസ് ഹു ഫോളോ ദാറ്റ് ഭാരതവർഷം. ശ്രീനാരദ മഹർഷി ഈസ് ദെയർ ടീച്ചർ ആൻഡ് നാരദ മഹർഷി ഈസ് വർഷിപ്പിംഗ് നരനാരായണ ഋഷി ദെയർ ആൻഡ് ആൾസോ ഗ്ലോറിഫൈയിങ് ഭാരതഭൂമി ദെയർ. വാട്ട് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് സ്പെഷ്യാലിറ്റി വിത്ത് ഭാരതഭൂമി? ദ റിവേഴ്സ്, ദ മൗണ്ടൻസ് ആൻഡ് എവറിഥിങ് ഇൻ ഭാരതഭൂമി റിമൈൻഡ്സ് എസ് ഓഫ് സ്പിരിച്വൽ ലൈഫ്. നത്തിങ് അബൌട്ട് മെറ്റീരിയൽ ലൈഫ്, ഓൾ മെൻ ഫോർ സ്പിരിച്വൽ ലൈഫ്. And that is, they say, is a good fortune of the Bharatavarsham, Bharatavarsham, people who live in the Bharatavarsham. And it also says there, to serve and advance in spiritual life, there is no better place than Bharatabhumi, Bharatavarsham, it says there. Because that is where so many temples, holy rivers, ashrams, mountains, everything so favorable for advancing in spiritual life. Where spiritual life is present. So, even after giving all these opportunities, and even after giving an opportunity to live in this or take birth there, if one does not accept that, utilize that for purpose, instead running after sense gratification, there is nothing worse than that. He is the one who kills himself. Who kills himself. So, that is the main message in that, about the utilizing, it says here, ഭാരതേപി വർഷേ ഭഗവാൻ നരനാരായണാഖ്യം ആകൽപാന്തം ഉപചിത ധർമ്മജ്ഞാന വൈരാഗ്യ ഐശ്വര്യ ഉപശമം പരമാത്മോപലംഭനം അനുഗ്രഹായ ആത്മവതാം അനുകമ്പയാത തപോവ്യക്ത ഗതിശരതി. തം ഭഗവാൻ നാരദോ വർണ്ണാശ്രമവതി ബിർ ഭാരതേപി പ്രജാഭി ഭഗവത്പ്രോക്താഭ്യാം സാംഖ്യയോഗാഭ്യാം ഭഗവത് അനുഭാവോപവർണ്ണനം സാവർണയിൽ ഉപദേക്ഷ്യമാണ് പരമഭക്തിഭാവനോപസരതി ഇതം ചാപി ഗൃണാതി. സോ വാട്ട് എൽസ് ഈസ് ദയർ ഇൻ ഭാരതവർഷം? അപ്പാർട്ട് ഫ്രം ദ റിവേഴ്സ്, മൗണ്ടൻസ്, ദ ടെമ്പിൾസ്, ദി ആശ്രംസ് ആൻഡ് എവറിഥിങ്, മോർ ദൻ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വർണ്ണാശ്രമധർമ്മം ആൻഡ് ദെൻ ഓൾസോ ദി നോളജ് ഓഫ് ദ സെൽഫ് ത്രൂ സാഖ്യം, യോഗം, ഓൾ ദി ശാസ്ത്രം. ആൻഡ് ശ്രീനാരദ മഹർഷി യൂസസ് ദി പാഞ്ചരാത്രിക വിധി ആൻഡ് വർഷിപ്സ് ദ ഡെയ്റ്റി ദർ ഇൻ ബദ്രിനാഥ്. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ ഉപശീലായോ ഭരതനാത്മ്യായ നമോ അകിഞ്ചനവിത്തായ ഋഷികൃഷഭായ നരനാരായണായ പരമഹംസ പരമഗുരവേ ആത്മാരാമാധിപതയെ നമോ നമ ഇതി. ദെൻ ഈ ടോക്സ് അബൌട്ട് ദി ഭാരതവർഷംസ് ഗ്ലോറീസ് ദർ ഇൻ എ ഫ്യൂ വേഴ്സസ്. Said that Bharatabhumi, the birth is meant for engaging in sadhana and with serious endeavor engaging in cultivating spiritual life. That is the advancement, that was the benefit of taking birth there. And he says here, it is possible that our effort may not fructify in this life. Our effort may not, we may not reach the destination in this lifetime. But any effort put in that, in self-realization, will never go waste. Will never go waste. This lifetime, we may not reach the destination. But still, there is no room for disappointment. Why? The purpose is like this. The opportunity Krishna has given us, utilizing that and living in that way and completely taking advantage of this human body and the facilities Krishna has given. And with that happiness, if one is able to leave this world, with that understanding, leave this world, that itself is a great fortune. That to feel at the end of life, I have not wasted my life. If one can leave this world with that satisfaction, that is a success. That itself is a success. We may not reach the destination. We are not going to be self-realized probably in this lifetime or many more lifetimes. But at least at the end of life, if one can leave this world, that you didn't waste your time in this world by engaging in sense gratification or sense enjoyment. Instead, you worked in the right direction. And with that satisfaction, if you can leave this world, that itself is a great success. This is something to be thought about very seriously. Why? Because Krishna consciousness, you have to do it now. It's not for the old age. If you think that at the old age I'm going to have all these things done, it may not happen. That is the most important message. Right now, here, when you have some energy and strength in the body and the mind, it is there itself it should be utilized, then it is not to be kept for tomorrow. Because whatever time we have wasted in life, that's gone. Now that it's no point in thinking about that. And we also do not know what is going to be in store in future. We don't even know that. What you have got in our hand right now is the time what you have now in our hand. Future is not in our hands. The past is gone. Either we have no control over that, isn't it? So, utilizing this opportunity, what we have right now in our hand, to the maximum, utilizing that, that is what their Krishna consciousness has to be cultivated, isn't it? It should not be kept for tomorrow. That is the message for those who are living in the Bharatavarsham, in the Bhagavadam. He says there, nobody can say anything about it because there is no point in thinking about the past, what has happened. That's gone. And there is, as far as future is concerned, it is totally uncertain. Nobody knows what will happen. But present time, if it is utilized for self-realization and developing spiritual life, Krishna consciousness in other words, and we should endeavor in that direction. That is the only message for the Bharatavarsham, for those who come from the Bharatavarsham, and that's what Bhagavatam is going to tell us. So that is why in the next few verses in that chapter you will find that that the benefit of cultivating spiritual life and the facilities that is offered for that in the Bharatavarsham, even if it may not be fully followed, but the Shastram is very open and straight about that. And first of all, getting a human body, it says, Aho Amisham Kimagari Shobhanam Prasanna Mesham Siddhuda Swayam Hari Yer Janma Labdam Nashu Bharatajare Mugunda Seva Ubaigam Sprahahina. And it also says there that after getting this, Krishna has given us this human body and this opportunity to develop in spiritual life, if one does not utilize all that, what will happen to them? All that is spoken. And finally, with that, Jambudvipa discussion is over. So, the 9 different varshams that we started with, Ilavrata Varsham, Bhadrasya Varsham, Kedumara Varsham, Hari Varsham, Hiranmaya Varsham, Uttara Guru, and now finally this Kimpurusha Varsham and eventually Bharata Varsham. All the Varshams are covered. You have seen in different Varshams who is worshipped in which form and who is the devotee and what their prayers are. With that Prakaranam or that episode finishes there. It is now, we have another 10 or 15 minutes. So we will discuss another subject now, which is in the Bhagavadam. That is, when we discuss this, twentieth chapter in the third canto, we talked about this also, that the main shastram or authority behind all this is Vedam. Vedam is the authority for everything. Right. Vedam is generally spoken in 2 different parts, 2 different ways. What are they? Purvam Uttaram. The Purvabhagam, Uttarabhagam. The first part and the second part, you can say. So, Vedavyasa Maharshi broke Vedam into two like this. And he said, he taught Purva Mimamsa to Jaimini, his disciple. And then he created Uttara Mimamsa, Purva Mimamsa and Uttara Mimamsa. So, all other Shastra, for example, Sankhyam came through Kapila Maharshi. Nyayam came through Gautama Maharshi. Yogam came through Patanjali. Vaisheshyam came through Kanada Maharshi. Then we have two more, Purva Mimamsa and Uttara Mimamsa, which is generally called Mimamsa, but Vedavyas broke that into two, and he mentioned there, Purva Mimamsa he taught to one of his disciples. The reason behind that is, the Vedam is so big, so vast, one person cannot take everything. So what he thought, the best thing to do, select different people for different path, and give them only that much, so that they should maintain that in this world. That is how that was the principle behind that. Even when he broke the Vedam into four, Rigvedam, Yajurvedam, Samvedam, Atharvavedam, he gave four paramparas from the four Vedam, isn't it? Paila Maharshi, Rigvedam, then Yajnavalkya Maharshi, he was taught them about the Yajurvedam. And this way, he broke the Vedam also into four, and four rishis were his disciples who taught four different Vedas. The idea behind that was no one person could absorb everything in one lifetime, all the Vedam completely. So different rishis were given different authority for different sections of the Vedam. Apart from that, he also broke Vedam into two different, another way he broke them, Purva Mimamsa and Uttara Mimamsa. Purva Mimamsa is all about the Yajnam, and Karma Mimamsa it's called. And there is a whole tradition behind that where all the Yajnam comes. The part of Vedam which talks about Yajnam or sacrifices is all in the Mimamsa philosophy. And that was taught to Jaimini. Uttara Mimamsa, he himself took the responsibility, who? Vedavyas. And that Uttara Mimamsa is called Vedantam. At the end it is called Vedantam. So, Purva Mimamsa talks about Karmam. Again Karmam comes. Karmam is the first hurdle to cross in spiritual life. Without crossing that, you can say any bhakti, bhakti, bhakti and all that will go for to some extent, that's all. After that it won't move that train very far. Because if Karmam is not right, you can see in the Bhagavad Gita Krishna says this, is it not? Five different things, what are they? Living entity, jiva, maya, which is prakriti, karmam, kalam and ishvara. These are the five forces operating in this world. Ishvara, prakriti, jiva, maya and karmam. Time. So, kalam, karmam, jiva, ishvara, prakriti. So, our existence is very much controlled, and one of the major things that controls our life in this world is karmam. And if that karmam is not pure, karmam is not clear, if it doesn't give way to the karma, doesn't give way, our spiritual life is stuck there. It doesn't go further, move from there. But we have taken a different idea, what karmam? Devotee doesn't have any karmam, we say. Where does it say that? Where is it set in the Shastra of that? Because I got initiated. And I got a shikha and a saffron dress. Does that mean I don't have karmam? No. These are the things we misunderstand. Karmam is the first you have to clear way there. That's why he says here, Purva Mimamsa is all discussion about karmam. Karmam has to be clear. Mimamsa means, the word itself is, the discussion on a higher level. Shrestham, the discussion in a higher level. Uttara Mimamsa is Vedantam. Uttara Mimamsa is Vedantam. So there, all that is discussed is Upanishads. Upanishads knowledge is the Uttara Mimamsa. And Yajnam or sacrifices is Karma Mimamsa, is discussed with Jaimini. So Jaimini took Karma Mimamsa and spoke about that. He taught that to his disciples. Prabhakara Mimamsa, Bhata Mimamsa, all that you will find in that tradition. So on the other side, the end of Vedam, which Vedavyas himself has taken responsibility, is called Vedandam, and that comes in the Upanishads. So there, in the third canto, if you look, a whole part of Vedam is spoken in the third canto. If you really study third canto, you will notice one thing there. A major part of the Vedam, which is the Purva Mimamsa, is covered in this one canto of third canto. So why? Because you will see there is Varaha Avataram and then Kapila Avataram. These are the two appearances of Krishna in the third canto. Lord Varaha and Lord Kapila. Is it not? Out of this, Varaha Avataram is about karmam, Kapila Avataram is about jnanam, knowledge. Varaha Avataram is about karmam and Kapila Avataram is about knowledge. We don't have to go very far in the Bhagavadam to understand Bhagavadam. Even in the third canto, most of the things are spoken there itself. So, yajnam means what? Yagam. So, initially, the whole discussion is about yagam, sacrifice, and yajnam varaham. Varaham's body is seen as a yajnam, isn't it? So, up to 13th chapter in the third canto is all about yagam, yajnam. Yagam and yajnam. After that, it's all Kapila Avataram. Kapila Maharshi's appearance from through Devahudi Devi and Kardama Prajapati, the principle of jnanam is spoken. Through Hiranyaksha story, the story of yajnam is spoken. So what does that tattvam? What is the tattvam? Why is it like that spoken? That also we have to ask the question. Why first Varaha Avataram and then Kapila Avataram? Because they are not in the sequence either. Reason is this, that first of all, one should get his karmam clear, and through sal-karmam, by engaging in karmam in a such a way that Krishna has spoken in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, one should purify one's karmam in this world, and that will result in chitta-shuddhi, purification of one's own heart. After that, he should enter into Vedandam. Only after that, he should get into Vedandam. On day one, Vedandam is very nice, let me study Vedandam. You couldn't make that decision. First is Chittashuddhi. Chittashuddhi, one should develop that purity of the heart to understand the subtle things that is spoken in the Upanishads. We have to qualify for that. That qualification process is done through Karma Yoga. Or Varaham. That is the reason why Varaham story is spoken first and then Kapila Maharshi's teachings is spoken later. Some people ask this question, why shouldn't I study Vedantam straight away instead of worrying about all the other things? Vedantam looks more logical and sensible to me in that way. Why should I worry about the karmam? Karmam is the part that is discussed there. It is something like this. A child which goes to the school, say in the kindergarten or lower kindergarten, whatever they call it, these smaller classes, and he has to start from there. Then he has to progress himself through the school, secondary education, primary, secondary, then college, and finally he can go for the higher studies, whatever that is, isn't it? So, but instead if you put the child straight away into the highest level, he wouldn't be able to experience that, understand it properly and realize it. So therefore, first of all, karmam has to be done. And then you have to leave karmam afterwards. You can't leave karmam directly, straight away like that. And you should not leave them also, because then if you leave karmam like that, what will happen is, you will go and do all vigarmam in this world. That is the problem. Proper karmam we won't do. What is given to us by our prarabdham, if you don't do that karmam, you will go and do some vigarmam here in this world. Why? Karmam cannot leave you like that. Karmam won't leave us like that. So after engaging in karmam and after purifying our existence, what is called chitta shuddhi, only after that one should endeavor for the knowledge and acquire the knowledge in the proper way. At that time, what happens?
Karma leaves us on its own, it will leave us. It will leave us. So, that is why if you look into the third canto, you will find there that Matkrade Tyakta Karmanam, it says, Krishna, there in the Kapila Maharishi's teachings in 25th chapter, 325, you will see there a verse, Matkrade Tyakta Karmanam. So, for my sake, Kapila Maharishi is saying, the devotees will give up all the karma. Only when he reaches that stage. Krishna also said, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. Isn't it? So, when did he say that? At the end, not in the beginning. So, the fact that Krishna has spoken the Sarva dharman parityajya at the very end means that if you take only that verse as the instruction, then you can ask the question, why all the other chapters then in the Bhagavad Gita? Is it not? So, the important principle is this, after flowing through all the 17, 18 chapters at the end, that is when, at the time when you leave Sarvadharman Parityaja, you can't give up otherwise. If you give up otherwise, it will come back in another form. Karma won't go like that. It has to be given up in the proper way. So, like a Brahmana boy, he stopped doing Sandhyavandanam, which they are meant to do. So, somebody asked him, why are you not doing Sandhyavandanam, he said. So the child says, have you read Bhagavad Gita? The child is saying. He says, yeah. What did Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? Krishna says, Sarvadharman parityajya mamegam sharanam vraja. That's what he is saying. He said, so you should give up all dharmam and take my shelter. Therefore, first thing I have given up Sandhyavandanam, he said. Not doing this anymore. And then Madhyandinam, and then chanting the holy name, all other responsibility what I have got, looking after the parents, everything I have given up. And then I have to get hold of Krishna. This is the misunderstanding. That when we start saying that we have to give up all the karmam, that's where our intelligence is not properly guided. Only if you are doing karmam, then you can give up them, isn't it? Karmam, what you are not doing, where is the question of giving up there? So only if you are doing that, only then you can give it up. That is why it says there, suppose you have got something with you, only then you can give it up. But if you don't have it, so first of all, one has to engage in karmam, then as that word says, Narayanayedi samarpayami, ultimately you have to give up. So engaging in karmam in the way it is spoken like that, but karmam one has to do. Kayena vajam anasendriyarva buddhyalpanava prakrite svabhaval karodi yadyat sakalam parasmai, then Narayanayedi samarpayami. So it is for this reason that after developing this nature of engaging in karmam without expectation of that results, make it as a karma yogam, and then one has to leave the karmam. That is why the reason why Varahavadaram was spoken first and Kapilavadaram was spoken later. Kapilavadaram was spoken later. This is the reason behind that. Why Varahavadaram was spoken first and Kapilavadaram came later. First purify the karmam, and after developing chitta shuddhi, then come to jnana margam. Then develop jnanam, bhakti, all these things, right? So, for example, you can see here, Kapilavadaram, when it is spoken about that so many distress is coming in life, and those who are not taking Krishna shelter, this distress can be very overpowering in life, right? Due to time, due to karmam, and due to planets and various reasons, whatever it may be, it gives us different trouble. So, the reason behind that is, Brahma is mentioning that in that prayers also, that in that 20th chapter, in the third canto, he mentions there, that it's only done to bring everybody under control. Krishna has to keep us all under his control. And the way to keep us under his control is he has to give us some distress at that time. When we are given some distress, automatically we will turn our attention towards Krishna. Otherwise we won't. So, similarly, Krishna destroys our distress, he takes away our distress, and also he gives us distress. Both comes from Krishna. For devotees, when they are suffering, Krishna takes away their distress. For non-devotees, Krishna has to give them distress to make them devotees, to surrender at the end. Both happens.
So when your devotee is in a distress, he takes Krishna shelter, and when they are experiencing distress, when devotees also experience distress in this world, what is the reason behind that? This kalam, time, as is mentioned, karmam, their own karmam, all that, and that is Krishna's higher plan, which we do not know why it is happening like that. And but in order that when they go through distress, the intention behind that is to purify them, to purify them. So why is it like that? It is very difficult to answer that question, because Krishna's kindness and mercy, it is sometimes difficult to explain in detail. So one thing is that some people say different ways. For in a simple terms, you can understand it like this. One is Krishna's mercy. Other one is Krishna's leela. Which one it is? Very difficult to say. Sometimes we say it is Krishna's mercy. That we say when sometime troubles come in life, due to that the benefit is that you get purified. You start seeing things a little bit more clearer, things. That you are not the controller, first thing. That realization is a big thing. And that ahankaram will not function strongly. So that is a purification for us. Like Kaliya told Krishna, that you kick me again and again, it's better for me, he said. You gave me this body. It's full of tamogunam inside, snake's body. You gave me this body and you are telling me why you are acting like a snake. What's the logic in that? I am a snake, so the only way I can come out of this is you kick me. Kick me as much as you like, so that I'll get purified and I'll start thinking in the right way. My ahankaram will go, that ego will disappear. In the same way, that is mercy, Krishna's mercy. Then there is another side, what is called leela. Leela patram, daya patram, leela patram. So there are these two kinds of devotees in this world. So we are all meant for daya patram. We are not for leela patram. Leela patram means that Krishna wants to perform a leela, he takes people for that. They are leela patram. Like Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Devi, all other leela patram they are. Radharani, they are all leela patram. For Krishna's leela, they are helping Krishna. Krishna has invited them and they are performing leela through them. We are all daya patra, needs a lot of kicks before this starts working properly. Otherwise it won't. So, leela, for example, you can see Mirabai, she is a leela patram. In the sense that, so personalities like Mirabai, no matter how much trouble in life, she won't give up Krishna consciousness. Why is that? She will increase her devotion. So much struggle she had to go through in life. Mirabai's prayers, if you read, you will find there. We were in her position, we will stop the bhakti straight away. That day itself, isn't it? So, she will say that. So, Mirabai, even though she had a lot of distress in life, she held very strongly to Krishna's lotus feet. Isn't it? So here, the mother, just like the mother knows the children's situation, similarly, in the Leela Patram, Krishna knows that, how far he can push a person, to what extent one can be pushed. And Krishna knows that Mirabai won't give up. Therefore, whereas Krishna knows with us, that a slight change is enough. Even 1 degree the temperature goes up, our Krishna consciousness is finished there. That is how fragile the whole thing is. Isn't it? So we are daya patram. Mirabai and others are leela patram. Isn't it? So some devotees, you will find this, that in the name of leela, they go through a lot of hardships in life. They have to suffer through in this life a lot. But still, they will not give up Krishna consciousness. Many, many personalities like that. Like you saw the great devotees in Maharashtra. Tukaram, Namadev, Yaneshwar and all that. Similarly, you can see Manikavachagar, Sundaramurti Swami and all others. So many personalities like that. No matter what happens in their life, they won't give up. They will not give up at any cost. That is Leela Patram. Why? Krishna's mercy is there. They know that very well. And they won't give up.
We don't know Krishna's mercy. We are tempted to give up easily Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Krishna has to be careful with us. A slight change is enough for us to fall out, isn't it? Then we say, oh, he has fallen down, or he has blooped, or something like that. We'll talk about them, he says. Because we didn't have the strength, first of all, to withstand that pressure, isn't it? So, people go to astrologers at that time to take shelter of the astrologers to see that if they can help, why have I fallen down? Why I fell into this, isn't it? Then they will say to you that some of your planets are in the bad position, that's why it has happened. So, that is all very limited power inside. So, but those who have taken Krishna shelter, they never feel that way. Properly who has taken shelter, that is what we have to realize this from. Great personalities, great devotees who have taken Krishna shelter 100%, they are not affected by any of these things, what's happening in this world. Like you can see that Tyagaraja's case. Tyagaraja was in extreme poverty, what he had to live. He wouldn't give up though, in spite of that. That faith inside, isn't it? So, therefore he's saying that, I'm not controlled by any planets, he said. There's only one planet who controls me, that's Ramachandra. That was Tyagaraja's attitude, isn't it? So, therefore, he was not affected under any circumstances. And when there is Krishna's mercy for a devotee like that, that strength is coming from Krishna for the devotee, isn't it? He's saying, when people told him that the planets are not in a good position for you, they said this to Tyagaraja. Tyagaraja says there, I have one planet which is completely in favor of me, he said. So, devotees are like that. That they will accept anything and everything what happens in life, it is Krishna's decision. And accept it that way. And they'll think that this distress has come to me in this life purely because I have to go through some prarabdham and I'm finishing that. They are able to accept that in that way. We are unable to do so. That is the big difference. So we'll stop today. We'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.